Sakura, Sky, and Loki. This week in the lull of the holidays, a few longer form articles are able to bubble up to the top of the collective news chamber. Take a breath and enjoy the brisk pace of tonight's stories. The news that we could find starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Lounge Radio. Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 783 for this July the 7th of 2019. There's a reason I don't tell you, Dark Soccer, about those parodies.
You are absolutely terrible.
Anyway, hi, I'm Rob Roberts, and joining me in studio, of course, is the one and only Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers, off cam because she wants to be.
I think I just lost my shit.
Yeah, I just had a moment, a brainstorm, and that. So for those that don't get it, if you're listening on the podcast, when we do the thing on Twitch, and I think I've mentioned this before, we kind of like borrowed an idea from You Can't Do That on Television that they also do on Dragon Con TV, where they do like these parody intros.
Yeah.
So it's like, so-and-so will not be seen tonight. And so what we did is we did, and I don't know why I thought of it, but I was just, because I was actually trying to think of 4th of July related things, like America related games. But for some reason, Neopets came to my mind as like a good old American game. And I was like, Neopet Cemetery. So there you go. There it is. And then voiceover Jason guy said that was the best one yet out of the – how many weeks have we been on Twitch? About a half year now? That was the best one yet. So I don't know. Do you guys agree? Tell us in the chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at the Voice of Geeks Network. More info at vognetwork.com. Again, I'm Rob Roberts. She's Dark Soccer, or Jamie Summers. And he over right there is Techmaster Loki.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. And I noticed tonight, and the folks on Twitch can maybe see this behind your laptop, but you're wearing a Keanu Reeves shirt.
I am wearing a Keanu Reeves shirt.
Is that inspired by Cyberpunk? And that
it is a Cyberpunk thing.
Interesting.
We have a city to burn.
Boy, they were quick on getting that merch out, weren't they?
Wrong. Someone was quick to knock that shit off.
Oh, it's a Redbubble type thing?
It's from QWERTY, so I buy a lot of shirts from them. Not sponsored. I wish it was, because then shirts would be cheaper. But no, it's from QWERTY, and... I love it. It's awesome.
It's great. Going to the chat. Oh, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, such a breathtaking shirt.
It is.
It is. It's breathtaking. Yes. Your wardrobe is very breathtaking. We have a random question to start us off tonight. Why not? We have gaming news to talk about. Don't get me wrong. We're going to have a fun show tonight. But it's been a little slower because 4th of July, Canada Day, all in the same week, North American studios probably aren't as, you know, busy. You know, we're still kind of in the... basking in all the info we got at E3. So it slowed down a little bit this week. So yeah. I am all for a random question. So the question we get from Questbuster, random question for pinball lovers at OLR. If you had a chance to visit the Pinball Hall of Fame in Vegas, is there a special machine there you would want to play? I went there.
I've
talked about
there.
It on a previous show. Yeah. But what do you want to go back and play? It's my tradition. The first machine I'm always going to play at a show like that as soon as is Elvira. Either table, Scared Stiff or the Mistress of the Dark is the other one.
Even though I didn't have the most fun time playing it, I still want to play the Pinball Circus. Mm. But another one I would love is if they had actually a Bride of Pinbot 2.0.
Ooh.
No, have you played Bride of Pinbot 2.0?
No, because that was not the one at your house, right?
We had a Bride of Pinbot for a while.
Yes, you had a Bride of Pinbot.
We borrowed a 2.0.
Okay, I think I might have played it. I think I might have played it when
you
had it.
Because it's the one that had, like, it sounded like the Space Mountain, old Space Mountain soundtrack.
Yes.
And it had, like, voices in different modes, and it was all LED and had a new DMD and everything. It was really fun, but, I mean, of course, there's other classics. Although I did get one of my favorites. I own it now, finally. Black Rose.
Oh, nice.
Dan has been putting his heart into it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but I'll do more on that for my game.
But you still have your World Cup Soccer 94, right? That's the one he's, like, never allowed to get rid of, right?
Well, that, yeah, although I was planning on selling it to Melody. If I was going to sell it to anyone, it would be to Melody.
Right, because then you'd at least know it's in a good home.
Because then I could get it back.
Yeah, yeah, and you kind of know where it is, yeah.
And the same thing goes for my Theater of Magic. If anyone's going to buy theater, if I'm selling it to anybody, it'll be Melody.
I do think when Alan and I work out some of our financial stuff and we're able to get a house, I do think I want a baby Pac-Man machine and I want an Elvira machine, because I know Alan would be on board for an Elvira machine because he loves Elvira.
We could probably lend you some of ours, too.
That'd be awesome. Woo. Anyway, how about you? When's your house turning into an arcade? But you're starting. You got the DDR machine.
I don't have enough room for anything. Couldn't put anything in there other than the DDR. Well, I have the DDR and the candy cab, but...
But now we're getting to that point of the year where I doubt you're going to be in there playing DDR very often because it's getting really hot, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I got stuff to start running now, so I'm going to start running in 100-degree weather.
Yeesh.
I know it sounds as terrible as I think it's going to be, but I'm going to do it anyway.
If you go out at like 7 or 8, it's really not that bad.
And no, this is going to be like 1 or 2.
Oh, then you're crazy.
Funny you mentioned that. I'm actually considering doing Couch to 5K.
So I was going to do that maybe. And then I just need more workout stuff anyway, so it was fine.
I go out ever since Harry Potter Woo, Wizards Unite Woo, ever since Harry Potter Woo came out, I've been kind of going down to this park not far from me. And Alan will come with too, and we'll walk. We finally got him suckered into Harry Potter, so he's playing that too. And we'll walk around the park, and it's the temperature is really nice at 7-8 o'clock. It's just a little walk and little exercise.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Yeah. I can always play later, but so the pinball tables. I didn't really play a lot of pinball, so I would say probably Adam's Family and
that's an all-time great.
Probably Attack on Mars, I think.
I remember when that was new, like that technology in that machine was really awesome because that's the one that you're talking about the remake, not the original.
Yeah,
right?
The remake.
Yeah, the remake where you actually have like the hologram, what did they call it, Pinball 2000 or something?
Yeah.
Where you had like the little holographic images in there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I so like I'd probably do that.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, let's get into our official kickoff tonight. But if you have further questions, why not? You can always jump into twitch.tv/VOG Network or VOG Network and ask away. I'd be happy to answer questions as long as they're, you know, not too crazy. But I thought for our kickoff tonight, again, the news has been a little bit slower, so I don't have like this gigantic headline. But I thought we could kind of reminisce a little bit about controllers, and specifically talking about an article that's been going around online about Nintendo and some of the comments they made about controllers at the 79th Annual General Meeting of Shareholders. And the question that was posed, it was question number 13 during this whole thing, said, looking at this year's E3, it seems like the mainstream for video games is the same as it has been for the past 30 years, namely looking at the screen and playing with controller in hand. How do developers regard this, and do they think it will continue? And there's several answers in here. I want to read a couple of them here. Takahashi said, we are always dreaming up new things. For example, 1-2 Switch, the first game released for Switch. We suggested that people could play not by looking at each other, or by looking at each other and not at the screen. And for VR, we thought about how we could change not just the controller, but also the gameplay, and came up with the Nintendo Labo Toy-Con 04 VR kit. He then talks a little bit more about E3. Miyamoto says, Nintendo was the first to create the style of playing video games with a plus-shaped directional pad and additional buttons, which has now become the industry standard. True point, he's yeah. making, right? It was also Nintendo that changed the original plus-shaped directional pad, which operated digitally in 8 directions, into the first analog input device that moves freely in all directions for Nintendo 64. This, too, is now common. But I feel like PlayStation was kind of doing that. No, because the DualShock was later, wasn't it? So they didn't have the analogs
later.
Right away. Okay, then never mind. They get to claim that, too. We are proud to have created a variety of user interfaces that have now become industry standards. As of now, in terms of accuracy and reliability, I believe this style is the clear winner. Here's where the answer gets more interesting. At the same time, I also believe we should quickly graduate from the current controller, and we are attempting all kinds of things. Our objective is to achieve an interface that surpasses the current controller, where what the player does is directly reflected on the screen and the user can clearly feel the result. This has not been achieved yet. We've tried all kinds of motion controllers, but none seem to work for people. I don't know if I agree with him saying none worked for people, because the Wii was huge, and a lot of that was because of the motion control, even though, sure, it wasn't super accurate in the beginning. They ended up having to do the Wii Motion Plus. I still feel like that changed gaming in many ways.
It did, but it's also, you have to use it in a meaningful way, just like how True. He was talking about 1-2 Switch and stuff like that. Arguably, 1-2 Switch is not a good game.
It's a mini game collection.
It's pretty. It's a neat, like, this should have been packed in with the game system, but it's not. I don't think it's anything that I would be heralding.
Sure.
I mean, the VR stuff's kind of all right. They definitely have any of the Labo stuff. They've had unique ways that they've used the Joy-Cons. So, you know, props there. But a lot of that, though, you're not going to really see that being used like that outside of just that piece of software. So I think that's kind of the problem. It's like, you have all these cool features they built in, but really everybody's kind of using it in one way.
And then he continues to say, and as the company that knows the most about controllers, we've been striving to create a controller that can be used with ease and that will become the standard for the next generation. So I kind of like ask you guys, do you think that we're going to be stuck in this directional pad, analog button type of controller for forever? Or do you think that game controllers and the way we play our games could change in the future? While you stew on that, let me get some other comments here. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, we rejected motion controls and Kinect controls. I sort of get where that comment comes from, especially when it comes to Kinect, where like Kinect was like huge and then like died off once everybody got sick of dance games and exercise games, right? They couldn't figure out really, I mean, even though they tried these other wild things with like the Kinect Disneyland and stuff like that, like nothing ever really like took.
It's just that
in a game sense, we
all
know
Kinect
works.
Good enough yet for any of that. It's like the idea was a good idea, but the execution of it wasn't to where they wanted it to be, and where it just didn't work as if they, you know, for some things like the dancing games and stuff, that was okay, but it's very limited on what you could do with it, because space wise you need to have a certain amount of space. The sensitivity on it wasn't that great. It was just kind of wonky. But like, I wouldn't say that motion controls are dead, because I mean, look at VR, you typically just use motion controllers, and those are probably better than a lot of the motion controllers that we're talking about here. So I think it could progress in that sense, but I think it would be more useful in, you know, scenarios that involve VR.
Right, and I was going to say, I think motion controls specifically, like, okay, maybe they're not the king anymore, especially since the Wii has kind of sunset, and even the Switch does have some motion elements in it. I think they end up kind of being the little sideshow to the main games that people just want to sit on their couch and kind of play, right? But when it comes to things like VR, like I think like motion control still is very much like a thing. It might not be the top thing, but like a game like Beat Saber, you know, it Beat Saber works because of its unique control mechanism. And it's admittedly it's kind of an anomaly. It's not the norm, but it's a hell of an anomaly, right?
Yeah.
And I think there are still other games to kind of find like in that space, especially as, you know, VR is kind of finding itself and that killer must have game and app that makes everybody want to jump into VR, just like the Wii had Wii Tennis was probably arguably that thing that really brought people into wanting to play that. So you think motion controls are probably not necessarily like the future completely? Like
I don't think that they're future. I think that they're not dead. I think that that's going to be probably something that we go towards. But you know what we have now is more sophisticated than they were doing. Like even PlayStation Move is very kind of bare bones, and I'm surprised that we're still using that now.
Yeah.
It's so old at this point, but
it works pretty well though. For Beat Saber and stuff, it's good enough.
It's okay for what it is, but it could be so much better.
Yeah, but some of those controllers for the VR stuff, like you know the Oculus controller, the Vive one with those like those little spaceships on the hand, those are pretty cool, and they feel really like I love like the haptic feedback is probably my favorite thing that like controllers do in this day and age. Type of stuff. So it's interesting to see where that goes from there, but looking back on some of the like controllers over the generations we've had of gaming, what was like the one you wish we were still playing games on? Unless you feel that the Xbox One controller or PlayStation 4 is as good as it gets or Switch, what's like the one controller you wish we were like still playing our games on? And Dark Soccer, you're the classic gaming connoisseur of this show. So what? I'm start with you.
The Sega analog controller that came up for the Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Best controller ever. Just saying. Best controller ever.
Why?
Because it was comfortable. Fuck. I mean, seriously, it sat in my hands so comfortably because I could hold on. I'm going to have to use my phone. Let me show you.
Okay, so she's taking out her phone and kind of, oh, okay. So she's showing on the Twitch cam how she can kind of like hold it in the back of her hands and use her thumbs. Yeah, I got
exactly.
It.
So because it had those kind of grippy things in back, not quite like, and the Dreamcast had a very similar controller to it. It was based off of the analog controller. And I mean, honestly, I also really liked the Negicon because the twist controllers made it really good for racing games and it just felt really natural.
I also imagine ergonomically you could do some pretty cool things to that too.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, those are two among them. Of course, I mean, even though they were specialized, I wish there had been more games that supported the twin sticks.
I'm just going to say the Gun Cons because
yeah.
I'm in some serious need of some more Point Blank. So, yeah, the gun cons.
So you're waiting for gun games to come back.
They have new guns that work with LCD panels, but
all of my gun cons and what was the Sega one? Not for the Master System, but
the Menacer.
Yeah, not the Menacer. It was like another one, but anyway. We've got so many gun controllers at my house that we pretty much have to keep our CRT.
I love it.
We got a Wega for $20.
You kind of referenced it, but I would honestly say the Dreamcast controller was really one of my all-time favorites.
Yes, it was the Justifier.
And what made the Dreamcast controller amazing, not just the fact that it felt rock solid with its D-pad and all the things, but the fact that VMU kind of sat in there. And, you know, for those that maybe weren't around during the Dreamcast days, of course, the VMU was like this, it was kind of like the technology you would see in an old ass Tamagotchi, like a very bare bones kind of type of screen. But you would put it in there and it would kind of like interface with your game. And I always, that technology was just ahead of its time. It was just ahead of its time. It was so cool.
The VMUs you could connect to each other.
Yeah.
For little versus tiny games or trading, like for Chao trading.
Yeah.
In Sonic Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And then Sony had to rip it off with the Pocket Station.
But not in America. That Pocket Station never came out here, so.
I don't know where mine is, and I'm very sad.
A number of American games did support Pocket Station.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII or VIII was one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Eight.
It was eight. Yeah, and those things were cool. And you know what's interesting? I kind of always go, I love the idea of like a video screen on your controller. Maybe not. I know that kind of conjures the image of the Wii U. Maybe not on
it's
that
funny
level.
That you say that because I think that's what the Amico has.
Well, I was going to say that is that actually that's one of the things I find fascinating about the Amico, especially considering its low cost, like how it's going to do that. I'm really wanting to see
LCD panels are really cheap.
I guess that's true. In this day, and it used to be those things would be like the most expensive part. But now, I mean, even just a few years ago, back when the Wii U first came out, the cost of those controllers, they didn't sell them separately because like the entire cost of the system was in that controller. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we have two Steel Battalion controllers now.
Well, that's a whole other.
We're talking about it in chat about how SSJ 100 Matt said we need more Steel Battalion games as an excuse to play those.
They had a second Steel Battalion game. It was not good.
But could you
connect?
But could you imagine what was that Met game that we used to play at Dave and Buster's? It was like a Robotech game, wasn't it, or BattleTech? Could you imagine them doing a BattleTech game?
Oh, yeah,
in that series and using that controller.
Yeah,
the Virtual World pods or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Bobby says, "Look at your Stream Deck that you're using," and that's right. I'd use one of those little, you know, Stream Decks that has all the little buttons on it, and it's great for doing the broadcasting. You're right. It's a little LED thing. But I mean, this guy was like $99. But of course, I bought it when it was like a new thing. These are probably already coming down in price because now I'm seeing the ads for the Stream Deck XL, where it's like,
yeah, it's ridiculously huge. Yeah, I've seen that.
This is plenty enough for what we're doing here.
Just if you're gonna do that, like the XL, just buy another keyboard to dedicate directly to hotkeys. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I know. This is really cool, though. I love – and what the thing about the Stream Deck is that I can also see exactly how many people are on Twitch right now without having to go, like, look at another window. It actually – that's the stuff I like is, like, the information that delivers right to the screen. I can see at a glance if the mics are on or off. Doesn't mean I always get it right because I don't always remember to look. But for the most part, you know, I can see really at a glance without – and that's one of some of the stuff I like. It information in front of my face. So to tie it back to the controllers – I think that's why I always liked, you know, the VMUs and that concept of like a little mini screen on your controller is like information right in front of your face that maybe is not necessarily something that would then get in the way of the interface in the game or what have you. So yeah, I'm really curious to see what the Amico does with that whole thing. So
I think AR stuff's going to really kind of push, you know, what we do with controllers at some point once that becomes more mainstream.
That's
I think
true. Things like HoloLens, stuff like that. Well, I mean, the HoloLens isn't a gaming thing, but
no,
you imagine it's
stuff
just a matter
like
of,
it.
It's a matter of time before that price, the price to do something like that. I mean, obviously those.
It's price HoloLens. And performance. As that stuff gets smaller and more powerful,
right.
It's just going to be eventually.
Somebody's
going
to
want
to try to make it a gaming thing, even if maybe it's not in the cards right now. Somebody's going to want to try to make a Google Glass or HoloLens type thing a gaming thing.
Yeah.
We'll see. Imagine if you could play Pokemon Go and you put these little glasses on, you actually see the Pokemon. I mean, obviously that that desire is there because you're using your phone as the little, it's just not, you don't have it up here. You're just using your phone as that type of thing right now. But I feel like that's where some games want to go with all that. So
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Any other comments on controllers or the future? All that? All right. Well, we invite your emails on the subject as well. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. But for now, we'll go into a segment that we do every week here on the show where we talk a little bit about the types of video games that we have been playing this week in a segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
Black Rose. Dan has finally got it working, so I play-tested it a little bit. We also finally got all of the shards in Bloodstained. And got the ending, and I'm very sad about one of my favorite characters in it, who I won't say what happens to him since people are still playing it. Although I will say this, if you check out all the books, like, and finally get the final book, you have to fight OD. He's like, I told you bring back my books, bitch. He says, this is a library, not a bookstore. Well, and of course, the voice actor was Alucard. Alucard's voice actor in the U.S. also found out Japanese voice actor. It was him too. So after, just go back. If you beat OD and it is a bitch of a fight, go back and look at him in his bookstore. He is pissed. So it's just worth it. Absolutely worth it. And, you know, I'm doing Animal Crossing and I'm thinking about quitting Idle Pouring when my subscription is up just because I haven't really gotten anywhere. But now I'm kind of spiteful. And, like, want to see if I can beat, like, the level 500 map boss. So, we'll see.
All right. Very nice. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton this week. I did play a little bit of Pokemon Go. And then also went back to, I want to say Hotline Miami, but that's not. It was Shakedown Miami. And played a little bit of that. That's about it.
All right. No DDR, no arcade this week?
No DDR this week. It's been really hot.
I'm going to ask you about this because you were talking to me about this before the show, and I think a lot of our longtime listeners know that you have always historically been a huge fan of laser tag.
Yes.
Like, and you were, as my people would say, that bitch when it came to Qzar. Like back in the day, right?
Yes.
You were the guy to beat at Qzar back in the day, right?
Yes.
So, and then Qzars have been kind of famous, but you still like follow laser tag and try different.
I still try to find the new drug that's gonna, you know, get me that same high as, you know, Qzar did.
So you found, because Qzars are like hardly, like there's one in Concord.
There's a whole bunch of laser systems out there. So I've been just bouncing around the different ones with my kids just to see what is out there. We've gone and played Laser Knights. That's the one that's at the Roseville Golfland, which is kind of crappy. It's whatever.
But you were mentioning there was one probably like 2 miles from OLR headquarters that you just tried out. So what was the pros and cons of this laser place you went to today?
So the cons of it were that the arcade sucks. It's just there's nothing there. It's a few ticket redemption games. They have a couple arcade games. And it's just kind of, it's very empty. Like, the whole building's just very empty when it comes to arcades. Up, they have bumper cars, though, which is kind of weird. And a laser maze. But that's not why you go there. You go there to play laser tag. And their laser tag arena is two stories, which is awesome. And they have these.
There used to be that one in El Dorado Hills that was two stories as well. Right? I feel like you and I went there once.
I went there once and played there.
I don't think they're there anymore.
They're closed.
Yeah.
This one is, it's more robust as far as like a second story. That one, it was just like, oh, there's a few sections you can go up a little higher and then that's it. This is actually legit two stories, which is pretty cool. The differences, obviously, with that and Qzar is there's, you know, you don't run out of lives. You just have unlimited lives. That's most of the places have that. They have, like, these, like, panels that you can shoot. They're, like, power-ups, which are kind of cool. And then apparently if you, like, have a membership with this thing, you can also scan, like, a card or something like that and track your progress and unlock weapons and stuff, which is pretty cool. But it's different than playing Qzar because obviously Qzar is its own type of game with its own rules. But using the stuff that I've learned from playing laser tag for a very long time, I kick so much ass anyways. So it was just like I'm very fast at the draw, and I also know how to position myself behind walls in a way that I can't get hit very easily. So But it was fun. We had fun with my kids and went there and I got lots of exercise doing it. And I would totally be down for it again. It's just it's more expensive than Qzar used to be. But granted, I played Qzar like a decade ago, so it's, you know, understandable the prices have gone up. But it is very close and it wasn't very busy, so I'm definitely down playing some more of that.
All right, I have to check this place out. I haven't played Laser Tag in a while. Last time I played Laser Tag was probably with you, going to Vacaville or something.
Yeah, yeah, and I still, like, I get the urge every once in a while, because my coworker, she has family in Vacaville, and she keeps talking about how she goes to Stars and stuff. Like, I want to go back there to play Laser Tag, but I know it's so probably run down at that point, and it's just, you can't just show up there. There's, like, no one wants to play that stuff, like, even there. But this place is like a dedicated like laser tag arena, so it's all right. It's weird though the way they do it too, like, because they can actually stagger games at the same time. So like when we first went into our first game, there was a team like deathmatch going on, but we were playing free for all. Like us separately, were playing free for all within this team deathmatch, and then like as That's we weird. Were like leaving, like our last game, there was a team deathmatch coming in. But they were playing free-for-all or something like that, and then we were doing our own team deathmatch. And so it's just really weird how, like, because I kept asking them. They're like, do you guys want to go in right now? I'm like, yeah, but isn't there a game already going? They're like, oh, that's fine. We're tracking your time separately. I'm like, how the hell does that work? But it worked. So I was like, okay, cool.
Interesting. All right. Some people reminiscing about laser tag stuff in the chat over at twitch.tv/VOG network. Bobby Blackwolf bragging. I was a Qzar Top Gun many times in my high school and college years. Let's see. ActDev says, we used to have a laser tag place here, but it closed down. Yeah, I think a lot of them have closed.
Our closest Qzar is probably the one that's probably most up to date and actually maintained is in Concord, which is a good hour and a half away, I think. We have one that's a little bit closer in Vacaville, but that's like, really, it's kind of run down from the last time I was there, and that was years ago, and I can only imagine. The problem with it is because it is an older system, like from like the early 2000s, and they don't really make parts for it anymore. It's very antiquated. It's such an old-ass system. And they have newer Qzar stuff, like the newer systems, but I don't think any facility around here has it. But I'll tell you what, if I ever came into a ton of fucking money, I'm bringing that fucking shit back. Because I'm a loyalist when it comes to that stuff.
So that's what you would do if you won the lottery?
Is oh, hell yeah. I would open up a family fun center with Qzar. Hell yeah.
All right.
You know, I think, though, like, if you're going to have, like, a Qzar, though, you should have, like, the most elite Japanese-style arcade.
Yes, I think so. But I think that this... I don't know how long this place has been open. I think that they're just... kind of, because they have a ton of room to expand, but there's just not a lot in there as far as arcade games goes right now. And like, I get it, Redemption's where it's at, but like, their Redemption prizes are kind of garbage, so it's, I don't know. And also there, I was mentioning this to my wife today, so I think all their games run on quarters, and you know how there's like, hey, you buy $20, you get like $25 worth of tokens or something like that. So on their birthday party page, they have it, you pay $50 and you get $68 worth of quarters. And I'm like, that doesn't seem very profitable for you, because I could essentially just buy this several times and pay for the party myself. You would essentially pay for the party. I don't see how that works, but yeah, that's what they have set up right now. So obviously there hasn't been a ton of thought into the packages that they
money.
Have. So yeah, or how they make money. So I don't know, but it was fun.
All right. Well, good. My gaming week. So y'all want a LARP update?
LARP.
So you missed this chat. I was telling you a little bit beforehand, but so last week on the show, Loki and I were here and we talked a little bit about that. I was asked to play another Survivor game online. So I was like, yeah, what the hey, I've got not a lot going on this month. Forgetting absentmindedly like how much time these games take away from your life. But everybody who I've met has been really cool so far. And although I am sad to announce that our tribe has lost 4 challenges in a row and had to do tribal council 4 times, I am happy to announce that your boy's still in it. So there is that.
Woo! Woo!
So that's all I can say, because I don't know who's watching or anything like that. I can't. I don't know if the other tribe might know about my show or whatever. So I can't say much more. But I'm having a good time. The people, if nothing else, even though it's like, oh my God, nonstop. But the good news is it's not. I was able to squeeze in like it's kind of slowed down enough that I was able to squeeze in some other gaming. So I was playing some Final Fantasy XIV, the new expansion. I've made my way to level 74. I've done the first two dungeons, so I'm really kind of getting a sense of the expansion. I gotta say, the story is really good so far. I'm super into it. I didn't think I would be, like, leading up to all the hype with it, but like now that I'm playing it and experience it, like, oh my God, the story is really good. And the dungeon fights have been really cool. The music is great. So yeah, loving the new Final Fantasy XIV expansion. So I'll hopefully play more of that later on tonight, just depending on if I got a LARP or not. And then I've checked out some new stuff. So I checked out Bloodstained. I finally got my code for the Nintendo Switch.
So good.
So I played it. I struggled a little bit, like trying to beat that first boss. I couldn't, like, I'm doing something wrong. I don't know. And I do have the Switch version, which I do notice feels like, I feel like she's, like, ghosting when she jumps and does some weird things that, like, it controls a little weird.
Do you want to try the PS4 one at
Maybe.
Our place?
Maybe. Yeah, probably when I'm over next, I kind of want to check that out.
Yeah, for sure. I'd actually like to see how the Switch one plays. So, of course, it's all electronic, right? It's all digital, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm sure Dan would want to see it too, but it's pretty.
I'll have to figure out, you know, because I kind of got stuck on that first boss, and I'm like, okay, this shouldn't be that hard. But then I was like, distraction, go play something else. And the other something else I ended up playing was Mario Maker 2. So I played some Super Mario Maker 2 finally. I haven't done any designing of levels, but I've done a lot of playing of levels. I've played quite a few of the story mode levels so far, and it's kind of neat seeing some of the creative things that they do, not just in the story levels, but then, of course, some of the user levels. There's some pretty clever stuff and concepts that people are coming up with. So I'm going to save some of that till a little later in the show, because for our little break in studio tonight, I'm going to play through some listener levels in Mario Maker. And then there's like one of the top three levels right now. I play that too. So we'll take a look at that a little later in the show for those of you that are a little more curious about Mario Maker. But you guys know I love the Mario Maker on the Wii. Or the Wii U, excuse me. And so this one is, you know, especially if you miss the Wii U, it's definitely a worthy successor. But it does feel like, okay, they've got like a lot more like ways you can customize the looks of the levels. You know, now you can do the stuff like with the Cat Mario and all this stuff. My only slight disappointment is that I actually kind of miss the Amiibo stuff. And not that it necessarily has to be Amiibos, but like the fact that you could get other sprites to replace
Why can't
Mario.
It be the Amiibos? I don't understand why they couldn't.
Well, it was before, so I don't know why they cut that out. I was just a little sad about that. So, but not everything was Amiibo, because like in the original Mario Maker on Wii U, it was like go online this week and play this level, and you would unlock these.
Maybe they're gonna
Japanese TV figures
DLC.
Maybe it does seem like, you know, a lot of people are speculating.
Or maybe just an update.
A lot of people are speculating that Mario Maker kind of has a nice little spot for an extra world where a lot of people are like, Mario 2, maybe? I don't know. I think the Game Boy one, because I guess if you actually go through the whole thing, you can actually unlock like a Game Boy. Not the whole level, but like a Mario that looks like the Game Boy version.
Who
throws the balls instead of the fireballs, like the ball that bounces around the screen.
Yeah, they have that, and then there's the Hammer Mario as well.
Yeah.
The Builder Mario or whatever.
So I haven't played all the story mode yet or to the point where you even get that, but I understand those are things that are kind of tucked away. But I would wonder if they might just do a full-on like Game Boy Mario, or maybe like a Wario Land type of thing would be kind of fun too. So we'll see. I don't know. I just feel like Super Mario Brothers 2 is so different that would be so weird if that's the one they end up doing. But, you know, who knows? It'd be awesome. I would love it. I just feel like it's so much different than the other Mario games because, of course, it started as a completely different game.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. I could see maybe a Japanese Mario 2 skin that changes the look of all the bricks and things like that and lets you do poison mushrooms and stuff. I imagine
you can do poison mushrooms.
You can do that now, huh? So it's interesting to me.
I miss the Amiibos.
It's interesting to me they just don't have the Mario 2 Japan skin for it. No. So anyway,
I miss Amiibo.
Or what was that? Didn't they have like the Tandy or something like that? That weird version of Mario.
Mm. Now, Bobby says the downside of the costumes is that they were only in the Super Mario palette, so most levels were in Super Mario Brothers 1. By getting rid of the costumes, the level backgrounds are more varied. I'm okay with them taking some liberties, though. I mean, it's not like we actually expect the 8-bit Mario levels to be things that are playable on an 8-bit cartridge, you know? I think Mario Maker's kind of come into its own, so I don't feel like they have to go by all the palette rules and things like that. Like, they could... But I don't know. Maybe it's a weird thing in development. Or bring back the amiibo in the Mario 3D world thing or something. I don't know. But I liked it in the old school Mario. So, oh, right. No, okay. Bobby's saying, no, I mean, they didn't put the costumes in the other versions. You couldn't use the costumes in Super Mario World. No, that's true. It was unique to the 8-bit. So, but I was okay with that. But if they wanted to bring them into Super Mario 3 or something different. I like that kind of variety. It made for some more fun themed levels.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was like a little, oh, yeah, you could play Ashley, the witch from WarioWare was a character you could get. And I made some levels around that, and I thought it was cute and fun. But anyway. But otherwise, I think Mario Maker 2 is fantastic. And we'll see a little bit more of that later on in the show. So I think we are good to get into our news for the week. Just a couple quick housekeeping things, though. I do want to just, you know, again, for those that are not listening to Bobby Blackwolf, who happened to be in the southeast part of the country, specifically the Atlanta area, Bobby will be representing Voice Geeks Network, VOG Network, who is sponsoring the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, Gaming Expo, because they changed the name not that long ago. We are sponsoring that, and that is taking place in Atlanta this coming weekend. So if you want to play some old school games, some old pinball, like we were talking about later in the show, or other old school games, and see some panels and, you know, hang out with people, I would highly recommend it. I would be going myself if I wasn't going to be back in Atlanta in 6 weeks for Dragon Con, which is the other thing I would announce, that Dragon Con, of course, is Labor Day weekend. That's all over downtown Atlanta. And that is going to be a lot of fun. And I can't say everything I'm doing yet. I've just seen some of the drafts. And it's going to be a very big year for VOG. I'm very excited about it. I'm, like, really pumped for this year's show. I'm really, really excited. So
cool.
I have to tell you, Darkstar, remind me off air. I got to tell you about one of the panels I'm scheduled to do that. Yeah, I'll tell you about it. So anyway, leave you with that little teaser.
Is it something that will have me shook?
I don't know if it was shook, but you'll probably go,
maybe a slight quake.
More like
a quiver.
Neat. Oh, neat. Yeah, a little like, ooh.
A quiver.
So that's it. Okay, let's get into some newsy news.
Yes, so everybody's very excited about all these exclusives on the Epic Games Store. I say that very sarcastically because nobody likes it at all. Unfortunately, there's a lot of games that people had kickstarted that were under the impression that this was going to be out on Steam and now are being told, well, guess what? It's actually going to be an Epic Source exclusive, and of course, people are not happy with that. So one of those games, definitely more notable, is Shenmue 3, which was kickstarted, and of course, fans of that series who did back the game are now wondering, well, can I get a refund? Because I don't want my game on the Epic Store. I want it on Steam. And so as of originally when they reached out to the development team, they said that, well, no, we're not going to do refunds at all. But Tim Sweeney has come out now kind of making a comment about these Epic Store exclusives and Kickstarter. So what they've promised to do now is they're going to actually fund the cost of the Kickstarter refunds resulting from the move to the Epic Games Store, so that the refunds aren't going to affect the developers' funding. So, of course, they're doing this for EaseNet. And they said, going forward, when future games go Epic exclusive, after offering crowdfunding rewards on other PC stores, we will either coordinate with colleagues at the other stores to ensure key availability in advance or guaranteed refunds at the announcement time. So good on them doing that, but still shitty that this is a thing. And it's funny enough, though, like, I know with Shenmue 3, they've gotten all sorts of money from different places. You know, they have a publisher, and that same publisher also did this kind of shit as well with Epic Store exclusives. So I don't know. I understand originally why people wanted to go Epic Store exclusive, because less games on the platform, you get a larger cut. But I think that a lot of these AAA companies are starting to kind of abuse that. to get more profits. But at least that people that don't are really, you know, so bent out of shape about Epic having the exclusive on something have an option to get a refund if they want to.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that was obviously a messy scenario with Shenmue 3 where some people, you know, just do not want to support Epic Store for whatever reason, and that I respect their right to
this
do so.
This is pretty
certainly.
Bare bones, and I mean, I get it. The features aren't there.
I get, well, and there's concerns about the privacy stuff, too, like yeah. when they were, like, pulling in your Steam stuff without really asking. So, I get it. I respect that. But, you know, that is good that Epic at least kind of found a way to, even though it's interesting because they're essentially, like, going to pay people to not use their store.
Well, it's...
you're right. Otherwise, it was kind of a crappy thing for the crowdfunding sites to do.
It is kind of ridiculous to see them, like, solve all their problems by throwing money at it. I mean, they, like, oh, we need more people on the platform. Let's throw money at this problem. Oh, people don't like that their games are exclusive to the platform. Let's throw some more money at that problem. How much money do we need to throw at you before you're happy?
Hey, but Fortnite is still huge for Epic. That game is still huge. Didn't make the show roll tonight, but there's a whole, like, Stranger Things thing going on in Fortnite.
Oh, they've
right
got
now.
All sorts of tie-ins with everything.
Yeah, they do. I like the
it
one
was
that
like last week or was it a month ago? It was like John Wick, and then they had. Like,
I remember the one where you go in and you hear the Weezer album in the creative level.
Yeah, and Thanos has been in there a few times. So they do all sorts of things.
It's clever, but it's because, you know, Fortnite is the biggest thing in games still. So, you know, they can kind of control that conversation, but they want something to be able to carry them when inevitably gamers move on from Fortnite because, mm-hmm. you know, just as, you know, you may not hear Minecraft as much anymore or, you know, other, what are like the big Twitch games, PUBG, I guess, you don't hear as much anymore. Not to say those games are dead, not by any means, but they're just not what they were. Pokemon Go, sure, same type of thing. Wasn't what it was, but it's still cooking. So, anyway. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. This one's a little more in the rumor section. What can I say? It's a bit of a slower news week, so we're willing to tackle a few more rumors that go around the net. But this is there might be some traction to this because some comments that were made with by Sony Interactive Entertainment president Jim Ryan. In an interview to Nikkei that was translated, he says that the company is thinking about possibly merging and acquiring more development companies because Google is starting to get in there with Stadia and so forth. One of the quotes from the interview is he said, "Content is becoming more important than ever before." Sony Interactive Entertainment has 25 years of experience in the games industry and has big assets, you know, so it's not like they don't have things like God of War and, you know, Last of Us and a lot of big titles that are still carrying them. But I'm sure they're looking at things like what could Google Stadia be cooking up, and as well as Microsoft has done a ton of acquisitions in the past couple of years to really position their next console. You might not be seeing the payoff yet on Xbox One, but I imagine by the time their next console is about to hit, we're going to really see the payoff for all these studios that they've been acquiring. So I think Sony wants to make sure that they're on top of that as well, if that makes sense.
Probably, yeah, it makes sense.
Now, obviously, we have no idea who they're looking at acquiring. We're not going to know that, but perhaps, you know, Microsoft has been acquiring mostly U.S., North American, I think some Europe studios. Maybe Sony's going to go after some Japanese studios. I don't think Microsoft has acquired anything Japanese at this point, if I'm not mistaken. I might be neglecting something in the moment. But, you know,
they're just going to acquire Devolver Digital and have them run their whole PR campaign.
Who knows? Have them run their E3 next year, certainly. That could possibly be right. So,
yes.
Yeah. But we don't know, you know, if they're going to be planning anything similar to, like, Xbox Game Pass or anything like that. Sony just wants to make sure the PlayStation 5 is going to have stuff on it at launch. Backwards compatibility, hopefully that's not going to be the issue for Sony like it's been in the past. So hopefully they'll have that, if nothing else, but we will see.
They just need to get the stick out of their ass about that and modding and crossplay and I don't know, whatever else they have sticks in their ass about. Where's my goddamn Ridge Racer game? I know that's not Sony, but still,
hey, Namco.
The question still exists. Namco, seriously, get off your ass. I mean, what the fuck are you doing?
What is
Namco
doing
anyway? I need new Point Blank.
There's
I
new
need new Ridge Racer. What the hell are you putting out? More Tekken games? I mean, we don't fucking need more Tekken games.
Tekken is awesome.
Tales. There's a new Tales game that they showed off.
I don't care. I want my Point Blank, damn it. Point blank.
Ridge Racer.
I'm sure there's a new Pac-Man thing in development.
I want a point blank Ridge Racer game. Guns Ooh. And cars. Yes.
Would it be like...
Lucky and Wild.
Yeah, Lucky and Wild. Oh my God, we had one at my arcade that I worked at. Lucky and Wild was kind of fun.
All right, let's move on.
I hated being the driver, though.
Darkstalker.
So Nintendo, being the internet phobic company that they have historically been, is actually talking about the future of gaming being in the cloud. They must keep up with the cloud. You know, I hate, by the way, just an aside, I hate when people say, oh, but the cloud, I'm afraid of the cloud. Do you know what the cloud is, people? It's computer.
The internet.
It's the internet. Don't be freaked out by the cloud.
But the cloud is always listening on my conversations.
And you know what? So is everything else always fucking listening to your conversations. So whatever.
I feel like the cloud is just people's, it's Skynet for most people.
It's so funny having to explain this to people. Okay. So do you have the same fear when you do a Google search? No. Okay. What about when you save a file on your computer? No.
What about when you visit Pornhub? Pornhub knows what you're doing.
I would comment, but it would maybe out where I work. But I have done screen sharing with somebody and saw his professional portfolio.
Ah.
It has been there.
There's a little wink with that. All right. Yes. Anyway, next up in gaming.
So anyway, there was the shareholder meeting, and basically the Nintendo executives were asked what they thought about cloud gaming. And here is a direct translation from the Nintendo president, Furukawa Shuntaro. And I'm going to read the whole quote because it's pretty interesting. While we don't expect all games to become cloud games anytime soon, the technologies are definitely advancing. We see a future where cloud and streaming technologies will develop more and more as a means of delivering games to consumers. We must keep up with such changes in the environment. That being said, if these changes increase the worldwide gaming population, that will just give us more opportunities with our integrated hardware and software development approach to reach people worldwide with the unique entertainment that Nintendo can provide. So this meaning that they may be going more and more digital with a lot more of their content, as well as saving their games, integrating some of that cloud technology in with the games as they progress. And Miyamoto basically agreed that it's going to become more widespread in the future, but he doesn't think it's going to replace consoles. Not yet. I mean, so it's very interesting. You know, Nintendo doesn't have a cloud service of their own right now. Not a true cloud service, but it's possible it could be in the pipeline. And one of the other things that came out of that is that they said that they'd consider whether each product that they offer is suited to a subscription model. So we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, Nintendo's certainly got to be thinking about it, especially with, you know, what some of the competition around them is doing between Xbox and Google. But I really think that them kind of waiting on this one, I know we always make fun of Nintendo being late to the online party, but I wouldn't want to make fun of them here and then under the exact same breath be like, but I think Google's too early to the cloud streaming party when it comes to things like internet bandwidth caps and just like what you're, you know. I think once 5G is more widely available, then we can have more of a conversation about, you know, Google Stadia and what it might bring to the equation. But I think it's okay that Nintendo is still kind of being dormant on this for a little while and kind of seeing what happens to other people first.
I, for one, welcome our cloud overlords. I'm just kidding. I think that there are some companies that do cloud very well and some that do not. The thing that and I'll go ahead and admit, I've used several cloud services. I've used Amazon's cloud storage. I've of course, I have an iPhone. I use iCloud, which I actually prefer because of the level of encryption on it. But secondly, you don't have to use it to be able to use your device properly. Unlike what some people think, it's really not necessary.
I don't use it.
I've used Google's cloud services. Their photos thing is pretty interesting. I still prefer my iCloud photos. But there's plenty of other cloud services out there. I mean, Dropbox in and of itself is a cloud service.
True.
And how many of us use our Dropbox?
This show kind of needs it.
Wouldn't it be something if the if there was like a Dropbox-like service, not just though, you know, what was the thing called the Dex drives for the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could save, if you could publish your save files so that, you know, hey, I did this in this game. Check out my character. You know, which we used to, you know, some of the forums, someone used to upload their Mass Effect save files.
But that would be cheating now because there's achievements and all that sort of stuff.
But, you know, it would probably be a cinch to encode that this was an uploaded file.
You would think, but, I mean, and you could tie them back to the profile or something like that. But, like, I know when it comes to, like, Nintendo and stuff, I mean, that's why they didn't even allow backing up of certain saves. Like, there's no cloud saves for certain games because they're worried that people are going to somehow cheat, even though they're cheating in other ways, not this.
But then in using cloud services, you know, we already have, for example, you know, we have multiplayer. That's roughly a cloud service, too. It's a streaming service. But what if you have things like a cloud-based collaboration for things like Mario Maker, where you can have a bunch of friends remotely put a game together? You know, there's so many applications for it that I really am looking forward to seeing more companies embrace it, but they're going to have to step up their encryption game.
Getting some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Kaijudo says, Nintendo has always used the internet in ways Sony and Microsoft didn't. They did online tourneys built into their games. They had the Nintendo forum thing, the PC chat. They always do online stuff, just not in traditional ways. They innovate. Yeah, sometimes they innovate, but sometimes I feel like they're lagging behind. Like, I think that Nintendo Online Switch app, I think that's kind of lagging behind a little bit. I just feel like people are not using that as much as they're using things like Discord and stuff. But to your credit, I will say something like Miiverse was very different. And the way they incorporated things like Miiverse into things like Mario Maker, we'll say, on the Wii U. And that kind of lives on a little bit in what they do in Mario Maker 2. That was kind of unique and very different from what Sony and Microsoft were doing. So I will give you that. Like, Miiverse especially was something very different. Questbuster in chat says, cloud is coming and digital services are on the rise. There's no denying that, but I still prefer local control over what I can and cannot install on my console. So,
right. Except with a good cloud service, you can control what you can and can't install. Mm. You know, like, I like with my Steam, for example, I can have it do cloud saves, which I turned off for some of my games because the cloud saves did like some weird syncing. Actually, no, it was for Origin. It was screwing up my Mass Effect saves and my Dragon Age ones, too. So I turned it off in Origin. But I mean, any good cloud service will still give you fine control. You just have to spend the time to go through your preferences. End of story. And again, before you look into any particular cloud service, go check how good their encryption is. That's a big thing. You know, make sure your own internet is secure. You know, there you go. As long as you're careful, there is no problem.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on. We have some more gaming news to get into before we get to the classic game of the week.
Yes. So this is interesting because it's a brand new feature for Twitch, which allows you to do these subscriber-only streams. So you can kind of have this exclusive thing that only your subscribers can see. Well, the problem with that, though, is apparently some of these end-user license agreements kind of prohibit that. So, for example, companies like Blizzard, Valve, Riot, and CG Projekt Red have terms that contain basically statements to the fact of that when you're streaming, you have to do it in a way that will basically, it's not going to be, I don't know why, if they like say not for money, but it's basically that you have to be used in a non-commercial way. The use of our content and videos must be non-commercial. By that, we mean you can't charge users to view or access your videos. You can't sell or license your videos to others for any payment of any kind. Which I kind of wonder, like, if already, like, charging for stuff is not necessarily charging. I mean, I guess with ads, it's not really charging for it, but, like...
Well, I think a lot of that stuff is probably written, too, so that people don't make, like, you know, like, tapes or CDs or Blu-rays of the games.
Tapes?
I know,
hey,
right?
Yo, you want to get some of my Overwatch tapes?
Wait, hold up. The reason why my head goes there is because where my brain goes is to those old GamePro TV tapes that was
tips
like
and
the
tricks.
Game. Yeah, the tips and tricks stuff. So I like, I'm not just being old, but maybe I'm being a little old. So, you know, there's that. And so they don't want people, you know, making money off that without maybe some type of buy-in. Cause I would imagine those tapes back in the day, probably the publishers got a little bit of kickback for,
maybe,
you know, those usage, in the videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't want people to do that or any type of like selling Blu-rays or, you know, selling how to beat XYZ game, you know, type of stuff without maybe some type of contribution there. So I feel like maybe a lot of this was written before the idea of a Twitch subscriber only thing, but I don't know if you had more, sorry.
Yeah, so it's basically it's kind of a gray area right now that whether they are going to be in violation of these terms of services if they're using that service. I'm sure that like something like this, if it becomes more popular, I'm sure that they'll adjust their terms of services depending on what's being required of this. I don't know if this is necessarily like really different than saying putting up exclusive videos on Patreon or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I think right now we're not really sure what it's going to entail, but I don't think that people are going to like get like sued by these companies if they use this service.
I don't either, but I do also think part of us, like I think a lot of Twitch stuff, we're very lucky that publishers haven't kind of come to stake their claim for the fact that they made the game y'all are playing and getting biddies and subscriptions.
Well,
and stuff off
that would be unfortunate for them, because guess what? And I'm assuming big publishers with, you know, their own legal departments and stuff like that. Guess what, big publishers? There's a lot of smaller indie publishers that would love seeing people play their game in a similar fashion, so
yeah,
you could miss out on that.
So it kind of ends up being this gigantic game of chicken.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, you can threaten people, but, like, if you're going to be, like, an asshole about it, Nintendo, though they did walk it back, I mean, there's just going to be ways around it that you could go. I mean, and even this, I don't know if this is going to be something that a lot of people use. It may be just more beneficial to them, I would think. Like, I know subscriptions are a decent amount of money, but I think a lot of people make, a lot of big streamers make more money from donations and biddies and stuff like that. I would think that you'd be more interested in making sure that as many people could see that stream as possible. I mean, the only time I could think of that you'd want to do like an exclusive stream like that might be for like maybe announcements or something like that. I don't know. But like
Q&As, ask me anything.
Yeah,
type
like
of
something like
yeah.
that. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know necessarily gameplay would be locked behind this stuff, but I would imagine that most large streamers are going to be more interested in just getting people to watch their stream so that they can donate money to them.
A very special ASMR subscriber only. Only subscribers. That's where this is going to get used. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Unsubscribe.
But anyway.
Well, you know.
What?
We could, you know, do one of the streams, and then you could just sell some bathwater with that as well.
Look, I don't think we really have plans to use that here at the Voice Geeks Network. I should remind you, I don't know, Bobby had a pretty good idea about like having a controlled Jackbox game, so
that would be kind of cool.
A-holes
yeah.
don't join, and so like maybe doing like VIPs and subscribers and all that. I thought that was a pretty clever idea, so that way you don't get the randos joining in, like putting, you know, trying to derail your game. But I think for the most part, I mean, certainly, you know, we are very appreciative of all the subs we get here at VOG Network and all the bit donations as well. But believe me, we just had some flyers printed to give away at Southern Fried Game Room Expo, and we didn't have to pay for that out of pocket thanks to you guys helping us out. So that's going to help us get out the word of VOG Network. So we really appreciate all of that. And if you guys, you know, continue to subscribe, remember the perk is that the one thing we do lock away is all the video content. If you're not here live. So you can watch the video live, but you only get the podcast part for free. I say only, but that is, you know, 17 years of our show has been always like online only and free. It's just we like, oh, this is like a little something extra we can give for a little something extra.
Yeah.
A little, it's not that much money. So, and you get Bobby as well and any other future show that comes here to VOG Network. So anyway. All right. Moving on, gosh, I'm just looking at some of the comments in chat. Somebody clipped that. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. Tiger Claw says they could use this feature to stream adults-only stuff. No, because
no.
People still get a five-minute preview, I think, of even the subscriber-only feeds. And Twitch still has their rules about broadcasting. I can't, like, suddenly take my shirt off because it's a subscriber-only – I'm not going to – because it's a subscriber-only stream.
Blind us, Rob.
I know, right? Yeah, the whole thing would – break anyway, but like no. You know that is part of Twitch policies, is that you know you don't you have your shirt on when you're streaming, please, and all that. So all right, yeah, that's right. And Bobby says there are other sites that do live streaming for adult content complete with money changing hands. That's right. So
yes, they have.
If you'd like a list of some, contact me after the show.
Just ask your favorite smart listening device.
Yeah, you and I may have some different tastes though, so you may want to ask somebody else like Logie. All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about something that will be for everybody's taste, because I know people are fans of this series. Y'all remember River City Ransom on the NES?
Yeah, I saw like actual gameplay of that, and it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, well that was the old school one, was River City Ransom.
No, the new one.
That's right, yeah. The new one that's coming out called River City Girls. Way Forward has announced that River City Girls is on its way out. It features high school girls Kyoko and Misako that are going to beat some people up.
Are they wearing like this, the whole Sukeban outfit?
They look like they're dressed like Japanese schoolgirls. It's kind of what they're dressed as. But I mean, to be fair, that would fit in. The original one was supposed to be in high school as well, so I'm not thinking it's exploitative. It actually does. It's for plot purposes. But anyway.
You play it for the plot?
Yeah. They get to wield baseball bats, bikes, park benches, because you could do that in the original.
So they're basically being Sukeban.
Yeah. Yep. So it looks a little bit retro, but it doesn't look like the old Kunio-kun games. It definitely has a new art style to it. And apparently guest appearances from older River City characters will be in this as well. So that's pretty cool. There's also going to be a soundtrack, some indie artists like Chip Zell and Nate Wants to Battle. That's going to be pretty cool. And they're saying anime and manga style cutscenes. So I just hope, just like in River City Ransom, one of the enemies, when you defeat them, will go barf. Just like in the old school.
This does look really cute, though.
NES game, right? Yeah, it looks kind of fun. So there will be a $30 release on September 5th. Digitally on the various PC stores, Humble Bundle, Steam, GOG. I notice Epic isn't in there, though, so interesting. It will also come out on PlayStation 4, Switch, and Xbox One. There will be a physical version through Limited Run Games at some point. So, yeah, I would want to check this out. I love the old River City games. And the Kunio-kun games in general are usually a lot of fun. This one's kind of doing some different stuff, but I'm into it. Yeah.
It looks cute.
It does. All right. I was just looking in chat. ActDev says, way forward with all the great announcements this week. Questbuster saying River City Girls looks good. Dr. Tsuya says the visuals kind of reminded me of the Scott Pilgrim game.
That's
what
I was thinking.
Which was definitely inspired by this series. So that's a very good call out there. So, all right. Well, let's move on. We have a few more stories for you guys. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, there is an Atari game that is going for $90,000 on eBay. It's an Atari 2600 game. It is not the rarest game of all time. People like to say that they are. But honestly, I think like if it was going to be the rarest game ever, there would have been like one of it made and it was never sold and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this game is called Extraterrestrials, which is a knockoff of this shitball known as E.T. It came out in 1993. And there were a few copies that made it out, very few copies, and one of them is now on the eBays. It is supposed to be pretty obscure, I mean, because it was also just sort of like a self-published game at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it was one of the last games before the that actually was made after the crash of 83. So, it's, honestly...
So, someone saw the E.T. and they're like, wow, that sold so well. I gotta make another one.
I'll be honest, I would have to see what it actually looked like, if it was like something that they improved on E.T. or anything.
It's E.T. Battle Royale.
But the seller is Game Wizard 69.
Oh my god.
And the quote says that they are the only confirmed private owner of this game right now, with the only other one being the PC Museum.
I kind of want that now.
The listing is for the cartridge only, no box, manual, or other materials in except quote fingers acceptable. Can you see my quote fingers?
No, I can see a finger.
There you go. Acceptable condition. And it arrives in a Lucite case.
I saw some clips of the game online. It does. It looks like E.T. meets Pac-Man. It's like they stole the sprites from E.T. But I guess it was a Canadian developed thing with only like 100 copies in existence or something.
Well, apparently there's two left. I don't know. But I wouldn't pay $90,000 for it. I wouldn't have even paid like $500 for stadium events if it had gone down that low. So, however, I do have copies of Final Fight Guy and Ninja Gaiden Trilogy if someone wants to make me an offer.
Yeah, I don't know. You've been putting that offer on the table for years.
Well, I haven't put it on actual eBay yet. I mean, if I put it on eBay, that'd be a different story. But I would rather OLR listeners own a piece of my collection for a lot of money.
Own a piece of the vault.
Make me an offer that's above a couple hundred dollars.
All right, because those are some pretty rare. Like the Final Fight Guy. Final Fight Guy was only a Blockbuster thing, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, help me pay down my credit card. Help me pay for my roof.
All right. Let's move on. A few more stories for you guys. Loki.
So I don't know if this is canon in other games, but apparently there's Armored Mewtwo coming to Pokemon Go. So from July 10th through July 30th, they're going to have Mewtwo appearing in 5-star raids across the globe. And so you'll be able to battle to catch that Mewtwo, which I can only imagine is going to be insanely hard to catch. And the other thing teased as well is apparently that there may be the inclusion of Team Rocket at some point soon, because there was a hot air balloon over some Dortmund event.
Oh, yeah, like the Pokemon Go Fest in Europe, yeah.
Yes, so
that'd be kind of fun. Maybe there'll be a quest or something. You can dress like Team Rocket, though, because yeah. my guy wears a little Rainbow R shirt because, hello, my name's Rob, so, like, you know, it works. So
yeah, so that'd be pretty cool.
You're secretly Team Rocket.
Prepare for trouble.
And make it double.
So, yeah, I'd be down. I think it'd be cool.
Now, are they saying if Armored Mewtwo will be shiny? Because that's the thing that seems to get more people to raids is shiny chances.
I'm sure that there will be a chance to get a shiny, but that chance is going to be very minimal.
I had a pretty funny Niantic day over the weekend. I didn't talk about this in my gaming week, but I met some friends at a local park here. And there was a few of us. And so we quickly did the raid in Pokemon Go. None of us got a shiny. In fact, I think the little shit ran for me anyway, but it was a Groudon. I already have one of those. So we did the raid, and then we switched over to Ingress and made the park sevens so that we could like farm it a little bit. And then we switched to Harry Potter Wizards Unite so we could go do the fortress. And I got to do my first five person fortress battle. And that was pretty fun. Cause it's like, you know, they're very different than raids. You have to kind of be like, okay, I'm strong against the 27. I'm going to take the 27. I'm going to hex the 29 for whoever's going in. I see you're low on health. I'm going to heal you. You might want to pop a potion, you know, like you have to like kind of be communicating. Like in a circle, what's going on?
They need a Final Fantasy AR game.
That would be awesome. I'd be down for that. Final Fantasy 11 AR.
I did a level 5 by myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a 5 by myself, but that's as high as I've gone. But what happens when you do
enough potions?
When you do it with multiple people, the difficulty like really starts to go up. So, and that was like Alan's first time playing. Alan was the 5th, and he was like gaining levels from just doing that.
We should try to do one.
It's fun. There's one not far from here.
I know. It's where the gym is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
I have all 3 by my house. I have a greenhouse, an inn, and a tower.
Yeah. So anyway, looking in chat, ActF saying if it was shiny, they would have said it in the announcement. True. I know. I'm still excited for Armored Mewtwo. Yeah, it'll be nice to have that in the collection. But
I don't have Mewtwo at all.
I really feel like I've been slipping on Pokemon Go. I've been terrible on gifts, and I just haven't been playing it as much because when I have my phone up and open, I'm playing either Ingress or Harry Potter.
I haven't been playing it as well either very much, and honestly haven't really been doing the gifts. But I haven't been wearing my gacha recently. I know it's probably pretty dead right now. But I think if I start doing running again, then I probably play it a bit more, but it's just I don't know. I just haven't been motivated to do it. I'm like, I don't really want to.
Yeah, I mean, the Armored Mew 2 will be motivating for a day or two until you catch it, and then it'll be like, all right, back to trying to level in Harry Potter, I guess. So,
yeah.
All right, moving on. Just one more story here before we get to the classic soundtrack of the month. And this one is about kind of a last-minute change. Last week, we had talked about, I think in Rapid Fire News, we talked about games that were coming out on
Pro
PlayStation
Evo.
Plus. Yeah.
New.
Pro Evo was supposed to be one of the games, as well as Horizon Chase Turbo. They did a last-minute sub-out. Pro Evo Soccer did not end up being one of the titles. Instead, they added in the Detroit Become Human Digital Deluxe Edition, which means you got Heavy Rain as well.
Cool.
So that was what they said. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm like, cool, because I kind of wanted to pick up this game at some point anyway. I'm sure a lot of people are like, not cool, because we just bought it for like $7 in the sale recently or whatever, or $20. But I guess that's part of the risk you take when you buy the games on a deep cut sale like that. But really, no word on why the sub out happened. It wasn't explained in the blog post. They didn't really – I mean, it seemed like the initial announcement kind of got a lot of people going like, boo, sports games, boo, because both end up, you know, racing and tennis end up being
sports. I don't know. I don't really see racing games as like –
I'm sorry. Why did I say tennis? Soccer.
Sports games.
End up being sports. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. Some people play sports games. There's going to be sports games once in a while. Heck, Rocket League is a sports game. That freebie ended up being awesome. So, yeah, I...
Oh, yeah, I have that now. Yeah, I forgot, right? I forgot all about that.
Yeah, so,
in my library of, like, nearly...
It looks like your Steam backlog, yes.
It's pretty much, yeah.
But, anyway, yeah, I don't know why they switched. And Konami says it wasn't them. Like, some people were like, oh, it must have been... Oh, fuck Konami. They must have been the ones that like pulled out the rug under it and done it. Nope, Konami says it wasn't their decision. So maybe you'll see it in a future month. I don't know.
I don't care because, yeah.
Act Deft is saying, I know some people that actually wanted PES 2019 for free.
Yeah.
Then again, I live in a country that loves football, real football,
yeah.
That you play with your feet.
Right. And then Kaijudo says... excuse me, Sony did it because if you read the forum, people were pissed that it was Pro Evo Soccer, but Pro Evo is cool, so fuck them. Plus, we had World Cup going on. Oh, that makes sense that it would be timed with the World Cup. I didn't think about that. You know, I know there's been a lot of chatter about World Cup in the past few days, so it would make sense.
Does make sense. Still don't want it. Don't want it.
That's you. Sit down. Maybe it'll be next month.
I only have one World Cup soccer that I'm into, and it lives in my house. Although, go ladies.
Yeah,
you know, I love those quotes that are going around. Why don't they stop calling it women's soccer and just call it soccer or football?
Winning soccer.
Right.
All right. Anyway, well, that's like when we had the WNBA here in SAC, which I miss, because it's like the only world championship banner that was hanging at the old Arco Arena was from the WNBA. Whereas, like, I think the Kings had like a 1950s Kansas City, wherever they were at before. Thing hanging, that was it. It was like all the new stuff was because of the Monarchs, and they get rid of the Monarchs. Dumb. Anyway,
you know, I met a good number of them when I worked at a GNC back in the day.
Oh yeah,
really, really, just great people who loved what they did.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I thought part of them was bringing it back when they built that new arena and the new owner. But
that new arena is weird, though.
I still haven't been in it.
I feel like I'm gonna fall out.
I still haven't been in it. I've been all around it, but I've yet to be inside that arena.
I went with Becky to see Lindsey Stirling, and we ended up getting preached at because apparently she's super Catholic.
Oh. Hmm.
It, like, kind of ruined the show for me. And I hate Christmas music anyway, but I love Lindsey Stirling.
Uh-huh.
And apparently I'm never going to go to another one of her concerts if she's going to preach during it.
Now, I would have been into Lindsey Buckingham, seeing some Fleetwood Mac. That I would have been into. And they were there, too, but the tickets were crazy. All right. Yeah. Anyway. Let's travel back when concert tickets didn't quite break the bank as much. I guess maybe they've always broken the bank a little bit, but they weren't giving away games for free online, that's for sure. It's a trip back in time for the classic game of the week. But what a twist. In 2019, Dark Soccer says, you know, once a month, I want to highlight a soundtrack. So we're going to look at the classic soundtrack of the month. So Dark Soccer, what did you pick for your classic soundtrack of the month this month?
I picked Quartet.
Oop. How about this one? There we go.
There we go. But the thing is it we can't turn it up, can we?
Not really.
Well, now the
you can hear it a little bit.
The arcade music for Quartet is, of course, better than this. But they did a really good job for a standard channel soundtrack for this game for the Sega Master System. And of course, I mean, Quartet, this music has come back in the past few years because it was given lyrics via Hatsune Miku. So, really, really good track, too. But anyway, Quartet, it's just one of those happy pieces of music. It was really catchy. You know, I'll be honest. Now, the version for the Sega Master System actually did not come out under the name Quartet. It came out under, like, a Double Target because you couldn't play four player. It was only up to two players, you know, because of the limitations of the system. But just the music really just, like, made me happy, you know, playing through the game and you're hearing all this cheerful music while you're shooting aliens and shit. I mean, how much better does that get? And the sound designer for this one was Hayashi Katsuhiro. And some of the other games that he did, he actually also did releases as Funky KH and Wooper Katsu. So some of the other games that he did was Galaxy Force for Sega Master System. He did the Hokuto no Ken game for Sega Master System, which was Fist of the North Star. Fantasy Zone The Maze did Asterix and the Secret Mission. You know about Asterix, right? The Viking?
Yes.
Yeah. Global Defense, and of course, you know, Quartet here. And a game called Ashura, which actually came out as Rambo Secret Commando, something or the other. But anyway, he's just done some really good games, including one of my favorites, Fantasy Zone The Maze. But did just quite a number of really good stuff for the Sega Master System. And even though the arcade version of this is just so iconic and so good, I think for bringing it down for a Master System game that isn't even an FM-enabled soundtrack, they did a pretty good job. So there you go. Classic soundtrack is going to be Quartet for the Sega Master System.
And I have to admit, this is not a game I'm as familiar with, but, like, in the little pieces that you sent along, you know, to be attached to the footage for Twitch tonight, I was like, oh, this is kind of, you know, again, for its time, really good. You know, some of it is a little loud and shrill in the beginning, you know, if you're not used to hearing music in this era, but I think it's neat. I like that it kind of has the different melodies and layers.
If you go back and listen, though, to the arcade version, then that beginning of it will make quite a bit more sense.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that.
But
sure,
the arcade music is absolutely astonishing. It's so good.
Yeah.
And then I know I played for you the Hatsune Miku cover. So
yeah, and I have the Hatsune Miku thing on PlayStation 3, so
it's so good.
Yeah. All right.
So at any rate, yeah, it's the soundtrack for the Sega Master System soundtrack for Quartet.
Great pick. Classic soundtrack of the month, Sega Master System Quartet. Showing a little Master System love as well as the NES and some of the other selections you've had earlier in the year.
I'm going to have to I'm sure the 5200 qualified as 8-bit. The Atari 5200?
I think so, yes.
So I may have to go digging for a 5200 soundtrack.
All right, fun.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, they're your rules at the end of the day anyway, so.
Well, yeah, but I said this year is 8-bit, next year is 16-bit.
No, I get it. All right. We're going to move on to our next segment, which was taped earlier today. While we take a quick break here in studio, we're going to take a little more of a deep look at Mario Maker 2 and look at some listener levels. So let's get to that. Hey everybody, it's Rob in the office studio, and I thought for our break this week on OLR, we could take a look at Super Mario Maker 2, and actually looking at some levels that I put out a tweet that said, hey, if you're out there listening to OLR and you're making levels in Super Mario Maker 2, you should send me some that I can play here, and then that way I can kind of show off the game a little bit, and how, you know, folks can go in there and look for different custom levels, and kind of what it looks like for some of you that may not have seen the game yet, although I imagine a lot of you are playing it. So I'm going to start with this course today from Jay and Hawk, who sent me this course, and it's called Dark Forest. So classic retro, no gimmicks, good. I didn't want to do the hell levels, so hopefully this will be a nice, smooth little level to check out. Loki said he might do the hell levels later. Y'all should hold him to that. Anyway, and you can notice here it shows you, you know, what the percentage is that's cleared it, which it, only 30% have cleared it. I don't know. Maybe this is a little tougher than it says. And then you see a world record there as well. So the fastest one gets saved, which is kind of fun, especially because, you know, speed running is all the rage. Plus, which is kind of neat, you can actually download courses. So if I actually wanted to save this so I could play it later whenever I want, I could actually do the download. And that's part of the charm, I guess, of having it on the Switch, that you can actually download levels to play again a little bit later. But anyway, I'm going to get in there and play this one. So it's pretty fast. It's going to download here. And you can tell it's going to be a retro level because Retro Mario shows up, 8-bit Mario. And, you know, one thing I noticed right away, oh, this is kind of cool because it's a different type of, like, background you wouldn't, you know, put together with an 8-bit Mario game, because part of what Mario Maker 2 has going on is that you can kind of give some more themes to your different levels. So, certainly this kind of, like, dark forest, for those that have been listening to OLR a very long time, going into the dark black forest is, not a theme we saw in the original Retro Mario, so that's kind of neat. And even though I've been playing this game a little bit this week, I certainly haven't seen everything, and I've been mostly futzing around in story mode, so I haven't really made my own courses to see, like, what all is available. Oops, look at that. Just as fast as I got that guy, I lost the fire. Ah! Okay. The ice makes things tricky. It's one of the fun parts of Mario Maker to me was always to see, oh my god, I'm a moron. I slipped, my finger slipped, I swear. One of the fun parts of Mario always was to me just kind of getting to see what some of the newer stuff looks like, but in the old 8-bit retro style. Oh good, I'm not the only one that got suckered right there. Okay, wow. Wow, wow. I should have just called this Watch Rob Be Terrible at Mario. But you know what? It is harder to talk and play at the same time. I challenge you guys to do it, because I have to keep talking, because I don't want the podcast people to be bored while I'm just sitting here playing. But I also have to kind of focus on the game. Ooh, I almost got thwomped right there, but I got around it. Okay, this time I should be able to keep the fire. Yes, that will work much better. So there's a lesson learned. At least. Okay, and this time I should be able to... Yes, there we go. Making my way up. Oh, there we go. So we hit the top of the forest now. Kind of a very different scenery. So, obviously, with all these little piranha... Well, they're not really piranha plants. The metal plants? Different types of piranha plants? I don't know what you call those. But with them all sitting there, you can't just walk across that. Good. More fire. If all else fails, use fire, right? Okay, so I think... Ooh, there's some bullets here. A free one-up to make up for the ones... Oh, I hate those hammer guys, but luckily he was... Oh, look, another one-up. It's rain one-ups. Okay. I'm greedy, so I want to get some of these coins, but I also don't want to get hit by the bullets, so... Okay. Hopefully I knock that piranha out. Okay. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh, no! Saved! Clutch! Hacks! I fell. Okay, for those on the podcast, I, like, fell in a one Mario body wide thing of water. And luckily, I was able to slam the A key fast enough to keep myself afloat. Oh, that was nasty. That was nasty. But yay, I did it. I did it. Good course. Good course. Ooh, my green screen is terrible. Sorry, guys. Different colors set it off. But that was good. Yay. So I'm going to say I like it. I was only about 30 seconds off from the record there, and I can actually leave my own comment, so I think I will do that. I'm going to leave a comment. And what's fun is that they have different stamps this time, so it's a little different than the Wii U version, because you can't just put the stamps anywhere, so they just kind of have these cards. So I'll just do the Princess Peach, because we all love Princess Peach. Cool idea. And it was. I liked that it was... A very retro, kind of easy thing that fit a few things in there. It was a good little warm-up. And it wasn't too easy because it had some nasty parts that got me. And almost once again at the end there, huh? So, nice. All right, so I could play it again if I wanted to. Or I can exit and pick a different level. So I'm going to do that. And so what I'll do is I'm going to go to ID. And I'm going to search for another level. So... Another code that I got was for our pal, Bobby Blackwolf. So he gave me his code that I'm going to put in here right now. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind if you want to play his level as well. R0TV21R5G. And I've got to see this because he calls this level Flappin' Mario. Oh, he's got a lot of people that have checked this out. Good for him. Not inspired by anything, just Mario going for a leisurely swim. Hmm. And there's a lot of comments. Dang, Bobby. Bobby went viral with this one. All right. Well, let's check it out. So this is a Mario 3D World. So Mario 3D World is kind of the new addition to Mario Maker, is that you can actually have, like, the cat Mario and all that, too. That's kind of fun. Oh, my. Wow. Okay, I was not expecting the speed. So it's an auto-scroll. I see. So that's where the... Okay, I thought it was just going to be kind of free floating through the level. But it this little applause effects, too. Love it. Wow, all these people putting stamps going. Be careful. Okay. So, yeah, if you get trapped behind a pipe, you are... Oh, how about that? He put some rewards at the end here to make that a little bit more worth your time. So, yeah, people are actually stamping their comments throughout the level, too. Pretty cool. I like this. See, that's cool because it's like... And this is a lot of what we're going to start seeing, you know, in Mario Maker 2. And we're already, you know, we were seeing it in the first game quite a bit already. And seeing Little Big Planet as well, is that, like, you know, I'm giving you this particular kind of toolbox to use. What are some different ideas that you can come up with? And so the fact that, you know, it wasn't, like, necessarily a Mario level, but was something kind of inspired by something else, that was pretty cool. So I got to hand it to Bobby Blackwolf. That was a pretty neat level. Yeah, and I'm fast-forwarding through all these comments. He's got a lot of people, cool ideas, nice, hell yeah. Nice, good job, Bobby. So I'm going to say I like it, as tempted as I am to hit the boo button and be a jerk. I'm not going to do that. And then I will also leave my own comment. Let's see, what can I leave? I'm going to leave one that says, I'll leave the beat it, because I beat it. Nice. All right, so there's a couple of custom levels. And just before I wrap this video up, just to show you a couple other things in the course world here in Super Mario Maker 2, you will notice that you can actually look. Ooh, I got, actually, you'll notice I have this little wardrobe over here. So it looks like I got a new shirt because I've played a variety of courses. So I can actually change my outfit. And shirts, who knew? Shirts could be animated. So that's a thing. So I guess I got this new shirt. I don't know, I like the animated one that I got a little better, so I'm going to stay on that. And I had the skirt on because I thought it was cute. You know, gender's merely a suggestion when it comes to dressing up. But if I want to, I could put on shorts or whatever. But I'm going to stay in the denim skirt for now until something better comes along. I also love that you can put on, like, baby clothes and stuff. That's, like, very... Yeah. And then you can change your expression as well in there. So that's pretty cool. And... you can also, you know, you can do network play with others. You can do the endless challenge where it just keeps downloading level after level after level. And then, of course, you can see leaderboards. So if we wanted to see, like, what are the big levels right now in the game, there's these course makers. But then I think you would also go to, where's the one where you see, like, the levels? I thought there was one for levels. Maybe not. Maybe you just see the makers. Because then this, the players will just show you how many they've done. I love that. The first person has 6969. Great. I thought there was a way where it would show you courses as opposed to just the course. Oh, hello. Hello. You got to go in the courses menu, not the leaderboards. There we go. So right now I'm on, like, starred because these are other levels from friends of mine and stuff. And then you can go to hot courses. So these are, I guess, up and coming ones or ones that were recently published. And probably popular courses is going to be where all the... Yeah, so these are the big courses that are going on right now, including this one from Super Mario Brothers 3, which looks like it's just some snowy slide. All right, I got to check it out. I'll check it out just a little bit real quick here, and then we'll wrap up here. So this is an idea of, like, what is super popular in Mario Maker 2 right now. So... Okay, so you get a little power. Wow, everybody, this course is so popular, people are leaving their own course codes at the end. Okay, so it was just that snowy slide at the beginning, but then people are leaving all these hints. Go up. I can't go up. I need a... All right, I guess I'm going in the pipe. Yay, another slide. And jump. Slide, jump. Slide. Ooh, fireworks. Festive. Oop. Yay, I got a one up. Music's all chipper and fun. Okay. Oh, I probably have to slide. Yep, there we go. And let's see. It says don't go down. All right. Wow, everybody's ruining this with their hints. Now, yes, you can turn those off. I just chose not to. Don't go down there either. Wow. The internet's just telling you how to do it. Go here for a one-up. Wow, this is like easy mode when everybody tells you how to do it. Okay. Wow, then it gets all Silent Hill on you when you get on this little ramp going up. Okay. I don't know why that happened, but... Oh, gosh darn it. Oh, no! Okay, so you kind of have to do this ramp. Land here, it's fun. So this is definitely just like doing slopes, jumping. Oh, and they use kind of the switches to move you one way versus the other. That's pretty clever. How about that? Okay, I can see why people like that one, because sliding down hills is fun, clearly. So says the internet. And I could leave another comment on top. Can I even leave a comment? They're like, I'm going to say beat it. Let's see if that... Oh, it did post it. Maybe it just rolls off over after 9,999 comments. It just kind of rolls off. The next one goes on. But there you go. All right. We'll wrap up with that. So we had two listener levels and a popular level, at least what's popular right now. Sliding down snowy hills. Sounds like a plan to me. Anyway, that's going to do it for our little break segment this week. And we're going to go back live now to the studio.
Thank you, me. That was fun. Mario Maker 2. Yeah, I just love seeing the stuff that people come up with, especially like the really like outside the box type of stuff. And it just seems like there's more to play with now in Mario Maker 2 that, you know, every new tool you give people, you're going to see all these different types of levels with it. Like, I really thought that was clever in that last level I played, that like you had to go through it one way. It was kind of like a figure eight. You had to go through it one way. The switch kind of made you do that. And then you got to the top, you hit the switch, and then you go the other way. Well, that's kind of neat. So I'm looking forward to being able to do like more multiplayer. Like, I know that's something we're waiting for, the online. I didn't explore that a lot yet in the game or in the video, so there's still more to do. But I enjoyed those levels. Thank you. Thank you to those who submitted over on Twitter. And thanks for watching me play the popular levels too. All right, let's get back into some more news. Getting into some rapid fire news tonight, Loki.
Yes, so this is pretty awesome. They have a HD remake or HD master of Donkey Kong Country Returns. Unfortunately, it's only on the NVIDIA Shield in China, which you may remember the NVIDIA Shield in China has been getting some Nintendo games. So they've had some older Wii games that were available on there. So you have Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, Super Mario Galaxy. I'm sorry?
Is it the IQ?
No, it's an NVIDIA Shield.
Okay, but I thought that that also was what worked on there. I might be getting it confused with something else.
Yeah, so they have over there in China, they have these Wii games that are available, and they run really well, like 1080p, 60 FPS, which begs the question, why are they not on the Switch? Because the NVIDIA Shield is part of the same chipset as the Nintendo Switch. Should be able to do it, but... for whatever reason, it's not available. So I'm sure there's fun workarounds to get that available onto your own NVIDIA Shield if you have one of those. But it's pretty neat to see that they've got this remaster completed. It's just a matter of actually being able to play it. But something that you might be able to play pretty soon, though, is actually some of these games that are available for free with Twitch Prime. So funny enough, like, I know that they used to offer games, and I thought all that stuff was available through, like, the little drop-down that we have in Twitch here, where you can see the Prime loot. But I guess, have I been missing games for the last few months? Because I haven't seen games in there. It's always been different other things. And then finally I went to the actual Prime loot, or, yeah, they had, like, a page for the games as well, and there's, like, several games on there that I could get for free. So one of those games on the Prime Loot page is actually Yooka-Laylee. So you can actually get that right now if you go to your Prime Loot page, which I know a lot of you guys that are listening have Twitch Prime. So it might be worth checking out. And then that's going to be available.
And also dropping your free sub on Fog Network. I had to put that in there.
Yes, of course. And then, of course, these are going to be available until August 1st. The other games that are available on there as well, The Escapists, For the King, and Cultist Simulator. So go check those out now because they're free. And free is good.
Well, free if you have Prime.
Right.
Yes. So of not course. Totally free, but yes, I get it. I get it. Hey, so another game on its another game that many of you I think have played is Cuphead. And you're probably waiting the DLC that they're working on for Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course, which I love that because it's DLC. It's cute. Unfortunately, it is going to be delayed a little bit. They are delaying it until 2020. But what's interesting is that part of the reason that they're doing it, co-director Chad Moldenhauer said, quote, "The development of the original game taught us a great deal about the importance of making things in a way that's healthy and sustainable for our team." So part of the reason that they're doing this is so that their team doesn't have to crunch so hard to make it by any other time frame. So, you know, good. So it's all right. We'll wait a little longer for it, and it'll hopefully be that much better for it. Something that's getting patched a little sooner, not DLC, but a patch, is Bloodstained Switch version, because apparently there are some issues where I'm kind of, and even I was kind of commenting on that earlier, I'm like, graphically, it just feels like something's a little bit off. But apparently the Switch is going to be getting a patch. The ETA for that right now is July 15th. To fix a graphical bug in the game, as well as some bugs featuring HD rumble, random crashes, and input delay. The chest bug problem will also be worked on for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Those patches will be coming out very soon if they're not already out. So it does seem like they are continuing to work on and improve the game. So I guess that's a good thing, you know, even though they worked for a very long time on it, but you know, it is what it is. It was a small team and they didn't have a whole lot, you know, whole lot of resources, so you know, they did what they could in the amount of time. So I'm glad to see at least they're not just like walking away from it, that they are going to continue to improve it, especially on the Switch. So
yeah.
And Dark Sakura, what do you have?
Sorry, I was just buying getting Yooka-Laylee.
Taking that tip right now. Yeah,
pretty much. I don't blame you. Squinix. We love Squinix. They are releasing a Chrono Trigger orchestral album. It looks like the release date is going to be August 7th. And there's another one that says October 27th. Just looking at the cover on here. But the standalone album will be $30, but the box set will be $74. So, yeah, it launches on September 7th, 2019, and then there are going to be concerts. So those were the dates. September 7th, 2019, and October 27th, 2019, in Tokyo. No, sorry, the first one is in Osaka on September 7th, and the second one is in Tokyo, October 27th. So someone send me a plane ticket, please. And then, last but not least, there will be a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 The Black Order, and it's going to be part of the Marvel Games San Diego Comic-Con panel. So they will be having the panel at SDCC this year on Thursday, July 18th at 1:30 PST, and it's said that they are going to be showing all the versions, including the Switch. So there you go. Apparently they're also going to have a few other goodies announced there, so hey.
I was hearing some stuff that maybe the new Avengers game is going to have a little more as well, so we'll see. Yeah.
I'm not excited about that.
Yeah.
I love Ultimate Alliance, though.
Yeah.
I played the shit out of that game. I learned about the series through Tiara. She was visiting one time, and we played the stew out of it. Oh, have you come to join us, sir? We are joined by a Smoosh.
Yeah, but sadly, Mr. Smoosh isn't elevated, so they can't really see. But
yeah, you can see the
tail. Oh, he's... he jumped up in the guest chair. There's that. So
I can scoot the chair over.
I know, right?
Just I'll do it.
He'll jump out of the chair when you do it. Yeah, I guarantee it. So he's looking for a way up on the kitchen counter because that's his new favorite place to hang out.
Well, maybe I'll do it. Check at Petiddles on Instagram. That's Midna's Instagram, PATIDDLES. There will be pictures of the smoosh.
Yes. And technically, Mr. Smoosh has his own Instagram as well. So, anyway.
Yeah, but
I know. You want your followers. It's fine. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates as we travel around the world and check out what's coming out in the U.S., Japan, and the U.K.
Yes. So we've got Senran Kagura Peach Ball coming out on Nintendo Switch. We've got Umehara Kawase Fresh on Nintendo Switch. Dr. Mario World on iOS and Android. And Blazing Chrome on PC, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. And looks like I have no idea how to pronounce this. You can't have this many consonants in a row. Cyveria Delta, that's on Switch and PlayStation 4. And Tiny Metal, Full Metal Rumble, that's on Nintendo Switch and PC. And then I believe this is still this week, Dragon Quest Builders 2 on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. And finally, God Eater 3 on Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right, busy, busy. Traveling over to Japan, the PlayStation 4 is a little slow this week in Japan. The only releases are like some deluxe editions that are coming out for Assassin's Creed Origin as well as Far Cry 5. Those are the really only the releases on the PlayStation 4 in Japan this week. Nintendo Switch, a little more hopping. God Eater 3 is released this week, also on July 11th. Puruchara Friends, Hoppy-chan to Sanrio characters. I can only imagine that
Toe.
Is the world's cutest.
Toe.
When are you going to start doing Japanese release dates?
You know what? I've offered, but it means it's and.
Oh, okay.
So it's Hoppy-chan right. And Sanrio.
Okay, I got it. So it's a crossover festival thing. You get to, they take care of your town, and you have all these accessories and patterns and things like that. Well,
that sounds
cute.
Like fun.
Yeah.
It sounds very vaguely Animal Crossing-ish.
It does, but it doesn't kind of look like that in the screenshots. I think it's kind of a different sort of thing. So, anyway, there's some other releases as well. No, actually, I lied. That's really it. God Eater 3 is kind of the big release there. So, that is it for Japanese releases. How about the UK, Sakura?
Sakura. Anyway, coming out on the 11th for Switch, we have God Eater 3. Also on the 11th, we have Dragon Quest Builders 2 and Dragon Quest Builders... Oh, we have the PlayStation and the Switch version. Sorry, they did them separately. Also Hollow Knight on July 11th. And that's it for this week. And guess what? We still ain't got any mail. I checked. I'm not slacking.
Yeah, it's been a little slow, and there's no Drag Race to talk about. So now what do we? Because Drag Race is out of season.
Well, I can talk about meeting Evie Oddly.
Okay, make it quick.
I was down for DragCon, and we were going to see the Belay Brothers big drag ball event, and coming out of some SUV is this person in a bear kigurumi. Lo and behold, it's Evie Oddly in full face wearing a bear kigurumi. The end.
I will say drag related. What came up on a Facebook memory recently is when the last time I shaved my beard was a year ago, because I performed Mrs. Peacock in a local production of Clue the movie on stage. But that was so. I really hope we get to do it again. I thought they were going to do it again this year, but they opted not to.
What if everyone did Grease? Who would you want to be if you did Grease?
Grease is difficult because it still is a play.
Yeah.
So it's a little harder to get the rights to do something like that because they want you to
do the
Grease
play. What about
Grease 2? No, Grease 2 would be different. Ooh, that would be... God, I've seen that movie so long.
Would you
want to
be Frenchie?
Maybe.
Or would you want to be Michelle Pfeiffer?
I think I would rather just kind of host it and not be in it and watch it. It would be a lot of work.
You should come out just in drag as a pink lady.
Okay, sure. Why not?
You should do it.
That'd be fun.
We'll put you in a ponytail.
Right.
With a full beard.
Back into some gaming news, Loki.
All right, so apparently the developer of Alan Wake has been able to acquire the series back from Microsoft. So Remedy basically notes saying that for the first half of the year period of 2019, Remedy Entertainment PLC records approximately 2.5 million euros of royalties from its previous release of games as a one-time income. Those royalties are paid to Remedy during the second half of the year period 2019. In relation to this, the publishing rights of Alan Wake games are reverted to Remedy. This one-time income does not include or does not significantly affect Remedy's full-year result. Because, as previously reported, the company continues to invest in developing new games, the success of which will have a greater impact on the company's full-year revenue and result. So, that's cool that they're getting it back, and maybe we'll get some more in the series, and it sounds like they're working on some new stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were going to do an Alan Wake sequel at some point. I mean, there was the American Nightmare kind of spinoff thing. And I thought they were going to do a full sequel at some point, but they ended up canceling it. And, like, some of the ideas or whatever ended up in Quantum Break. So I don't know if maybe this whole, like, they're getting it back might be a way for them to tackle that sequel again. I don't know. Maybe. I would love for them to do another Alan Wake game. But that game, Alan Wake also, you want to talk about a game that took a long time to make. That Alan Wake game was, like, announced as, like, a launch title for the 360. It didn't come out for, like, 4 years after the damn console was out. So if they want to do something, it's going to take them a good long time to work on it. What this would mean, though, is that they could release, like, an Alan Wake remastered for PlayStation 4 or something, or Switch.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
To. That would be interesting. So, hope they can retain all the music rights, though, because they have some great music stuff in it. So, all right. Yeah, and this 200 Matt in chat says that Blair Witch game that was shown at E3 looks so much like Alan Wake. Yeah, that was... When that first came up, I was like, wait, are they doing another Alan Wake game? Like, when I first saw that, I was getting excited. And then it started to get a little too violent. I was like, I don't remember Alan Wake being this gory. And so I was like, I don't think it is. So it was something else. Yeah. So, excuse me. So, moving on to a story about Zelda Breath of the Wild's sequel, which I know a lot of you are very excited
Yay!
About, including present company. Apparently some hints... Some big hints out there in job listings. Some recently posted Japanese job listings for Zelda Breath of the Wild have are posted for a terrain designer and level designer. Apparently, because they're hiring for these things, it's looking to be that there may be a little bit of a bigger deal. There is standard information on all of the postings, but apparently the terrain designer will say work on things that are, quote, field dungeons. And the level designer will do, quote, game event, dungeon, field planning. And then the level designer will also work on creating and tweaking enemies as well. So, I mean, the original Breath of the Wild kind of had those divine beasts. And then they had, like, those very small little temples. But it would be very interesting if the concept of dungeons from, like, the original Legend of Zelda, if you will, you know, like, nine dungeons or whatever, it would be interesting if that might be something that takes place in the sequel.
It makes sense, though, because the game, well, the whole thing starts with underneath Hyrule Castle, and those, the area, I mean, if you watch through the trailer, they were in a big cavernous underground. So it would seem likely that a dungeon, I mean, they've already kind of teased it.
Yeah, and Dark Tetsuya says in our chat room over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, that was my most wanted thing, having it open world like the first game, but actual dungeons this time. So, yeah.
It'd be pretty cool.
It would be cool.
And I would really like it if your save file carries over, because then, like, you know, perhaps it, like, affects how you work with Zelda, for example, if you've got all the memories or not, or if you just, you know, bed run right up to the end and she's like, do you remember me now? Sorry, princess. Excuse
Zelda
me.
Zelda will remember this.
I actually would rather play as Zelda
with
her magic.
I do hope they make it so that you can kind of control different characters. I think that'd be very cool.
It makes me think that she would be playable because she has short hair. Yeah. And it's easier to animate shorter hair. Yeah.
We'll see.
So, anyway.
All right. Well, Darkstar, you have a very kind of interesting, different story for us.
I do, because, you know, I like to throw on the other angles of video gaming. And how better to do that than talking about African swine fever? African swine fever has a lot to do with video games, don't you think? Anyway, the African swine fever, there is outbreaks in Europe and Asia, and the disease is actually making farmers kill a lot of their pigs, and it's driving up pork prices for those who are of the pork-consuming persuasion. So American farmers are pretty much afraid that the disease is going to pop up here because there was a different virus back in 2013 that spread through 33 states and wiped out 7 million pigs, which was 10% of our nation's swine population. So how are they trying to combat this? Believe it or not, biosecurity is a thing. And the University of Vermont is now using video games to predict how human behavior impacts animal disease outbreaks. And it's a $7.4 million biosecurity initiative right now. And they are using this to generate projections that would benefit the agriculture industry. So basically, they would track pig diarrhea virus through the farms. But then, and one of the researchers named Gabriella Buccini says, what happens on a farm doesn't stay on the farm. But then they're going to use this, and one of her other quotes on here says, once you learn how people behave, the next question is, how do we apply this to a larger system? So their data, they're having players go through the video game and make decisions about how much they were willing to risk to expose their herd to, you know, basically what farmers face on the daily. And they were simulating how the disease would spread if it were introduced. So they're using the combination of human interaction as well as, you know, swine interaction to see how humans affect the spread of animal diseases.
Yeah. She-Hulk10 in our chat quite simply says, science and games are fun.
True. And I just think this is such a good application for it because you can have people involved in it. And it's really a very experimental game. But then again, how many people sit and play Harvest Moon?
True.
You know?
Now, Questbuster in chat like took the words right out of my mouth because I was thinking of this exact same thing while you were talking about that with the diseases and all. Questbuster says, reminds me of when World of Warcraft's blood plague event that ran out of control was actually studied by scientists.
I was thinking of that too because it was a – I think there were a few papers in epidemiology posted based off of that.
Well, and it was like – it was fascinating how like some people would, you know, really try to run and hide to get away from it. Some people were running into populated areas just to purposely spread it and kind of like how the human –
I think I had stopped playing right before that went on.
That
because I played every
expansion.
That
happened at the end of Vanilla. Like it was,
I played Vanilla early on.
Okay,
I played Vanilla and I hated it. Remember?
Oh yeah,
because I hated all the weapon grinding.
Yeah.
Isn't there like another expansion out now? Because I'm not playing it.
The
Rise of Azshara.
They are on. Oh God, no! I think they're one. No, they did Legion and then Battle for Azeroth is the one.
So it's still
right
on Battle because they were. I think they were teasing the Rise of Azshara.
Patch. That was a patch.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, Ikuma JP says next zombie pigs. Zombie pigs versus war pigs, and they play that album.
Well, I'm glad this wasn't just a story about, like, does Stardew Valley prepare you to be a real farmer? But I'm sure even games like that, they learn things from, you know, just again about how people play them.
Well, and the next evolution of this is taking it from game to a true sim. But they're doing this to get that human behavioral element to it that you cannot simulate. And so I think it's a really good way to get that kind of input from real life people that you've got all across, you know, various skill levels in the farming and agriculture and, you know, word I'm thinking of that also ends in culture that has to do with animals. I'll just say animal husbandry because it's fun to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but dealing with, you know, dealing with animals. So I think it's a really novel approach to it. And honestly, I'd love to see other industries take the same route to see what happens when a human makes X decision and then your projections go off of this continuously variable data.
Right.
Because what gets more random than the human?
Ain't that the truth?
Some of us are just extra.
VidPower in chat points out there's even a corrupted blood incident page on Wikipedia. It's that important to culture, I guess, if you will.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, let's move on. Loki, I think you're up next.
Yes. Let's talk about how the Switch Online has reached 10 million subscribers. So a lot of people are very interested in playing different games on the Switch Online. I'm sure a big part of that probably has to do with also Tetris 99. But, of course, you know, you have other games in Mario Kart, Splatoon 2, the new Mario Maker 2, that type of stuff. So definitely it's helped push it. I can say that probably very minimally the NES library helped out with that. But we're not going to get into a whole nother complaint debate about, you know, what's offered there.
I think the giveaway on Twitch was the biggest thing, probably.
Yeah, that probably helped as
and
well.
Plus, being able to play games online. People want to play stuff like Splatoon and Mario Kart and that stuff. So, you know, people probably just bought it so they could play online because you're used to doing it with PlayStation and Microsoft anyway.
Yeah, so, you know, basically they said, you know, the number of subscribers for Nintendo Switch Online has increased steadily since the service was launched last September. And it has surpassed 10 million accounts. You know, we recognize that making Nintendo Switch Online service attractive for to users is extremely important, and we will continue to make the content of the service even more appealing going forward, with vague promises and no sort of information whatsoever. So we shall see what they mean by that, if it's anything.
All right. Well, one thing that I guess they're trying to get people interested in with the Nintendo Online is more events for Tetris 99 to get you to come back and play that one if you're not already a regular player of Tetris 99. Tetris 99 is having its fifth Maximus Cup from July 12th through July 15th, so it's next weekend basically. And if you earn 100 points during the cup, you will unlock a prize, which is a Splatoon theme for the game. Because there was a classic theme, I remember previously.
Neat.
Now there'll be a Splatoon theme, so I'm sure it'll kind of turn the Tetris music into that boop, 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 boop. Like, it'll kind of like sound like a Splatoon music at that point. So that'll be fun. Maybe like a ska remix or something will be fun. So anyway... The event has been confirmed for Japan and North America. It has not been confirmed for Europe yet, but why would they be left out? That would be kind of shitty. So we'll see. But anyway, that is coming up this upcoming weekend. I'm sure some folks will be playing on that. Also, another DLC pack on the way for Tetris 99, because even though it's free, they can still get you through the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
The second DLC will include offline multiplayer, and that will be out before the end of the year. The developers behind Tetris 99 have said they are working on a mode that lets you play with friends and family offline. So if you don't want to have to be signed into the service, you want to just play with friends in the same room, party mode, you know, because Tetris 99 doesn't really have any matching anyway.
Yeah.
So this would be a way that you could control who it is you're playing against. So I'm sure there will be some desire to have that. I think it would be really cool if it allows multiple people to play on the same screen. Because, you know, technically you could have, you know, a pro controller, your two little baby controllers that sit on the Switch, Joy-Cons. You could maybe just, you know, instead of having multiple Switches in the room, just have all these different controllers. I'm sure it's limited at some point, though, because of all the Bluetooth. I remember hearing that before. But, you know, be able to kind of play the game that way.
Yeah.
With a lot of people. Be fun. ActDeft, by the way, says the Maximus Cup, why it's Splatoon theme, is suggesting it's probably because of the final Splatfest for Splatoon 2. The Maximus Cup is probably a crossover promotion for that. I keep forgetting. That's right. Splatoon 2 is ending those Splatfest pretty soon. That's kind of weird because I would have expected there would be a Splatoon 3 or something to look forward to, but they didn't do that yet. So who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that is it for the scheduled news that we have tonight, but we do open up our chat as well as our Discord. If you are on our Discord server at vognetwork.com/discord, you can head on over to the green room, and we'll be fielding some of your calls here on air if anybody wants to call tonight. I noticed we just seem to have a lower viewer turnout tonight. I don't know if that's the holiday weekend or what. Maybe some people
Stranger Things 3.
People binge-watching Stranger Things 3. I'm through the first two episodes. That's as far as I got. But yeah, I want to watch more. Maybe I will after the show tonight. I just found out that the LARP is not doing anything tomorrow, so I'll be able to do like real things. So that's good.
FLARP.
Mm-hmm. Or this it's the slarp slurp. Anyway, yeah, Bobby says probably people still out for the holidays. Probably. SG100 Matt says I gave up on Tetris 99. I was getting wrecked too much, and it wasn't fun for me anymore. And also saying I finished it this morning, and I'm sure that's about Stranger Things 3. It's great.
I would only get it for single play.
Akuma JP says stop at season one. I like season two.
Season two was great.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as season one, but it was still good enough.
Yeah, season one was all about Winona's crazy eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well, season two and three are also about that.
But season two, though, really was like the strong.
Season two was all about Hopper dancing.
Oh, you. It was for me. Oh, great. Now I can't think of her name. The teen girl.
11?
No.
No. Oh, Nancy.
Sam.
Nancy.
Oh, the teen girl. The one that looks like Jennifer Grey in season 3. She looks just like fucking Jennifer Grey.
Does she look like Jennifer Grey now?
Huh?
Before the nose or after the nose?
Before, in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, before.
Okay. But just because she makes me think, actually, of another Nancy, the one from Nightmare on Elm Street. How she went from kind of meek and worried to just pretty much taking it all in her own hands and being a badass. You know, taking on the big bad. And also, she does look a little bit like Heather Langenkamp. But
do you know I met Heather Langenkamp?
Really?
It's very random. Well, she was at the Sinister Creature Con. You know, I know the people that put that on. And I was there because I was doing the panel. That was the same day I did the panel with Barry Boswick and Nell. And so
she still looks the same, doesn't she?
She was there signing autographs. And remember, I don't really do like scary movies. Like, I've seen, of course.
The first Nightmare on Elm Street is one of my
favorites. Of course I've seen that. But you know who do loves horror movies? My husband. So I went in line and I said, hey, so I actually want to get an autograph for my husband and, you know, such and such. He's a really big fan and watches. So I actually got him an autograph. And she was kind of like, you know, asking me some questions. I felt like a dummy because I'm like, I don't really watch the movies. I think I saw it once, but I tried to just, you know, be nice and keep it about.
I used to watch her in a show called Just the Eight of Us. I think that was the name
of it. Oh, yeah. I remember that
show.
She
was the oldest daughter in a very Catholic family. And wasn't it a spinoff of, not Family Matters, was it?
I believe you are mishmashing. There was a show in the 70s called Eight is Enough.
No, yeah.
And then there was Just the Ten of Us.
Just the Ten of Us. That was it. Yeah. And it was a spinoff of, it was one of those shows. It was a spinoff. Because they had the family.
It was, the family was featured in like an episode, yeah.
Yeah, and then they spun off the show. And I really freaking loved that show. But I was like, I watched it because she was in it. And I just was obsessed with her hair. I wanted her hair, really. Because she had that hair that was not like, not quite Brooke Shields' hair, but pretty freaking long. And I thought she was awesome.
But she still looks great, considering
well,
like
when
how
I saw
many years
the
ago
new
that
Nightmare,
movie was.
I seriously didn't think she had aged hardly any. So if she's still looking that good, she must have good genes and a good dermatologist.
Nice. Loki, do we have any last-minute stories?
No, but I just noticed there's a game coming out that has to do with Ryan Toy Review, which my youngest son is obsessed with. I'm going to have to fucking buy this piece of shit. I know it. It's called Race with Ryan, and it looks like a piece of shit. But
wait, it's like a YouTuber's getting a video game?
Yeah, YouTuber's getting a video game.
Oh, my God.
He's got his own fucking toy. Dude, this kid is fucking rich, man. He's rich, bitch. So, like, he's got all sorts of merch and shit. But, like, yeah, he's getting his own fucking game.
So the kid is like a one-man, like, PBS programming on YouTube that
it's not
like,
even it's just
watch.
It's really him and his parent, it's his parents kind of pushing it. It's just him doing shit. Like most of it nowadays it's like, look, I'm playing with my own fucking toys. See, you want these toys, kids, you want these toys. But like it's just him just going like to amusement parks and shit and doing weird.
You get paid to go to amusement parks. I did an amusement park review once at Vogue's YouTube channel. You can still find it somewhere.
Yeah, you just have to.
It's one of the only times Shane has ever let me put him on camera was for a Mass Effect ride. Just saying.
So I don't know. We just have to. Hopefully, he'll never find out about this. Unfortunately, he will find out about this because he watches this.
They'll feature it in the videos. You're screwed. There's no way you're gonna hide it from him.
Damn it.
All right. Well, if there's no last minute stories, and I don't see anyone on the call on the phone, I guess we're almost wrapped up for the night. It was kind of a shorter news week, right? So
yeah.
It is what it is. All right. Well, as I always say at the end of every episode, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air them, then how are we supposed to put them out there? So I hope everybody did have a great holiday weekend, and we look forward to doing this all again next week. We should be getting some more gaming news next week, and we're going to start Gamescom is not too far away.
Yeah, that's
San Diego Comic-Con. I think it was 2 weeks, but we'll have that and some of the tidbits coming out of that. And things are just going to start ramping up and up and up as we get closer to Labor Day. Next weekend is also the big
Comic-Con. There's also news usually at Comic-Con.
Yeah, oh, I guess that is this coming weekend. So I guess
or I don't know if it's this weekend, but it's soon if not.
But then also Southern Fried Game Room Expo, which we've been talking about, is this weekend. So who knows? Maybe we'll hear. Well, certainly Bobby will talk about it on his show and have some video as well. Maybe he'll share some of that with us. I don't know. I know he's going to have a very fun weekend there. And SSJ 100 Matt points out we have Pokemon Go Community Day during OLR for West Coast people next weekend. Yeah, it's like freaking like 4 to 7 o'clock, so we can't even do it unless we catch them on the house.
I'm actually going to be at the fair. So for locals, next Sunday, starting, of course, from the fair opening to 10, is out at the park. Or not out at the fair, sorry. So it's going to
State Fair.
State Fair, yeah. Well, and guess who's playing that night? I told you already. I don't want no scrub.
Oh, is that at
TLC is
at
playing
the freaking State Fair?
At the freaking State Fair.
Oh, I thought that was his own thing.
That's
okay.
Why I was like, shit, I want to go. No, because I don't want no scrub.
A scrub is a guy who can't get State Fair to get.
A scrub is a guy who can't get no love from me. Maybe. You know who else is going to be there is Martina McBride.
Oh, those are some pretty big names.
Yeah. And actually, you remember from the late 80s, early 90s, Tony?
Hell yeah.
They're playing.
Wow.
They're still around.
I have to look at the lineup. I didn't realize. God, yeah. The State Fair always used to be at the end of, like, it was like going into Labor Day, but they moved it like 4 or 5 years ago to July. I'm still not used to it being in July.
It's too hot, though.
Well,
that was always where I saw Weird Al.
Lately, though, it hasn't really broken 100 here lately. Like, it's been like 80s and 90s.
No,
he's fine. Okay. He's fine. As long as he doesn't wander over to like the...
As long as he doesn't knock over glasses.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah, I'm looking. You can already see next Sunday's weather. Okay, the high is 94, but it's not 100.
Well, at any rate, I'm going to be there in face because the sisters are doing... there's actually a drag queen bingo earlier in the day.
Oh, fun.
And the
you're still here at the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
But the tickets are free for the drag queen bingo for actually getting a seat. Or reserving a seat for Drag Queen Bingo.
Oh.
And I may have deals on tickets with Monorail.
Fun.
Talk to me if you want to go.
All right. We'll see. I don't know what's going on next weekend yet, so we'll see. I feel like I had something on the agenda, but whatever. Always busy, busy. I might be thinking of the Southern Fried Game Room, even though I'm not going. I might just be thinking like that that's next weekend, but yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah. I guess we wrap up and get everybody's final thoughts. It's weird to be done so early. Oh, no. That's as far as... No, I don't want him over there. Hold on.
I'll get him.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr.
He's
Smush.
Just trying to cook himself. He's trying
to
get in the pot.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want him over there, because he might hit a button that he needs to not hit and set himself on fire, and then we'll have a running fireball through the house.
So. He can't work the dials.
No. Okay. Oh, Jamie's going to bring Smush on cam. Oh, good for you guys. Wait until the very end. Uh-oh. Now he ain't having it. Aw.
You can see the face he's making at me.
They can see like, a little
nope.
bit. All right. As 200 Matt says, Dad, I want food. Make me food. I love it.
I don't know. You might get cooked if you stay up there.
I know. All right. Behave yourself, Mr. Smush. All right. He wants to lie out by the coffee maker. That's what he's doing. Because we majorly cleaned the kitchen about a week ago. And now he like wants to lay out on the counter.
Now I'm covered in 2 cats worth of hair.
All right. Let's get everybody's final thought. Let's go over.
Nintendo truck at the State Fair. Jeez, Cat.
Cat, you are going to get it. All right, as long as he doesn't go all the way over there. Wait. He can stay there, but not over the other side.
He's going to go over there.
I know. I'm watching him. All right, let's wrap up the show so I can discipline the cat. Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight?
I'm covered in the hair of 2 cats. Really.
And my final thought is, see, he lied down. That's what he wanted to do.
I'm going to take a picture of him.
That's fine. He just wanted to lie down up there on the counter. And Loki, your final thought tonight?
My final thought is I'll hopefully play more games this week.
Thanks for tuning in tonight, be it on the podcast feed or live here at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. We hope to see you again in 7 days. Thanks, as always, for being a part of the family here at Orange Lounge Radio. 17 years running and still going. So we'll see you next time, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.